This is PFW in progress.
Oh, I love your suits. It must be a bitch getting a size 68 extra fat and a 12 dwarf.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Universal presents Burt Reynolds, Sally Field, Jerry Reed, and Fred.
Paul Perillo.
Wait a minute. Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
And Andy. And Andy?
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Andy Hart.
I sorted you, sumbitch! I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses!
Some guy named Tom.
Sheriff, do the letters F-O mean anything to you?
PFW in progress.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. A little bit discombobulated here.
What else is new?
We actually have to order our own food today, so we're a little bit
Everyone's out of sorts.
A little off the mark, but we'll get it all straightened out. Gary's going to put the order in. Paul's going to pick it up when it gets to security. We're all set. So things are good.
We better have Paul do it, because if we send Fred, we're going to get a voicemail saying, Gary, this is Fred. Do you know what the Papagino's guy looks like?
He's the one holding the Papagino's food.
So did you hook up with, weren't you doing it again last Friday?
Yeah, I did get to have lunch with Doug from Blackstone.
Oh,
talk about that.
You were lying.
Talk about that. There's a lot of things to talk about here today on PFW in progress. It's Tuesday at Gillette Stadium, raining, warmer, about 60 degrees, would you say?
Yes.
It's kind of warm out there.
It's like,
but
one of my practice reports. All of a sudden.
But it's dreary and wet.
No one cares.
And so here we are in the middle of OTAs.
And that's just in the tunnel that it's dreary and wet.
That's right. It's very humid.
It's pouring in the tunnel. No, it's pouring.
All right. Okay. That's a, you got one leak.
It's
pouring.
One.
All right, 508.
The Bucket Brigade out there.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio at Patriots.com. We have a lot of emails in, a lot of things to talk about. Not all of them Patriots, but NFL-related. The owners are at their meeting down in, what is it, Palm Beach or something like that?
Have you ever been to the Breakers?
No.
It's supposed to be really nice.
I think I've driven by it. It's very nice. Yeah.
You know those tight times we're talking about? Why don't we move the owners' meetings to like a Marriott down the street?
Yeah, sounds good. Anyway, they're there talking about possible rule changes. Spygate was the topic of the day yesterday.
Hey, I'm... okay.
And Bill Belichick commented on it. Mr. Kraft commented on it at length, showing his frustration with... this Matt Walsh punk not coming out and saying what he knows yet.
Did you really need to throw the word punk at the end
there? I think I did. And I don't think he's got anything because, you know, it's now established there is no confidentiality. So the only reason he needs protection is if he gets sued for lying.
Right.
So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
And they're really starting to call his bluff now.
He's got nothing.
They're calling him out.
Yeah, he's got nothing. Yeah. And they wouldn't do that if they knew he had something.
Right. I kind of agree.
You know, he's got nothing.
I don't think we're going to hear from him much anymore.
No, well.
We've got to hear from him.
I want to hear from him.
No, we don't.
I want to hear from him. I want to hear from him say, hey, I'm full of it, and I'm sorry.
But he doesn't have to do that.
He doesn't have to, but that's what I'd like him to say.
But he's so full of it.
At this point, though, I mean, the guy's got to say something. Just
I wouldn't.
He made a fool of it. He's already made a fool of himself.
It's snowballed out of control, and if you don't have anything, if you have something, okay, then talk. But if you have nothing... keep your mouth shut. Go away. Be your little assistant golf pro.
But then questions are always going to linger. People are going to say, well, what about that Walsh guy? What about
that's
what?
Not
he,
his
maybe
problem.
He knows something.
That's not his problem.
You know?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think at this point it's to the Patriots' benefit to force him to say anything.
I agree.
Like you said,
that's
Eric.
My point.
Yeah. I think, and I agree with you because, you know, I think until he does say that, I really don't have anything, then... you know, it's always out there.
People are always going to have that in the back of their mind. That,
now, if he was worth a dime, I'd sue him. But he isn't worth anything, so he's not worth suing.
That is probably true.
You know, because what he has done is scandal. Not scandal. Slander.
It was like, well, is scandal?
Scandal. It's slander. And I was trying to think the difference between slander and libel in my mind. Libel is when you're writing.
Libel is right, literary.
But, you know, and I'll tell you, I do the Patriots.com traffic every month, the reports. And this March was the first time year to year, in other words, March 07 compared to March 08, mm-hmm. that we had a decline.
Really?
That was a slight decline. And, you know, it could be a lot of it is because of the Super Bowl. And
the fact that they've done nothing.
Well, we didn't do much last year either, did we? Oh, right. I guess we did right away.
Those are the ones I just let you answer your own question.
Fred, you're talking just from March of last year compared to just March
yeah,
of this year?
Exactly.
Not the whole year.
No, no, no. Whole year, we're way up.
This was a sleepy March.
I'm just talking about this March versus last March. We're slightly down.
Well, like Andy said, there's been hardly any
Dante
free agent
Stallworth,
activity.
West
That's
you
true,
had a
right?
lot last year.
That's true. That's true.
This year, it's...
But I could also make the case that some people are just, you know, put off, a little bit negative.
You could make that case. I wouldn't buy it personally, but a judge might.
Yeah, and I'm making it.
Because it is scandal.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
I'm throwing it out there that you know, punk. This potentially, especially if he never comes out and the Patriots are never exonerated, it could hurt business.
Now, Fred, I brought up an issue with you that, again, Goodell speaks, and he says more, I feel like, every time he talks about it. He said, we know, one of you guys got the quote over there exactly?
I got it.
He basically opens it up that Bill Belichick may have been taping a lot longer than he said previously.
We've known, this is a quote from Goodell, known that Coach Belichick has taped signals through his career. We
so
recognize
ridiculous.
There has been a great deal of discussion about this. There is a questioning of our integrity. I believe strongly in the integrity of the game, and I know our clubs do too.
Right.
But in saying that, I agree with Andy. It started off that we had these six tapes that we destroyed.
Six tapes that were this year
and
last year.
And last year. And then it was, they've gone back as far as Bill's been in with the Patriots in 2000.
They've been doing
it. This is probably what he's talking about right here, is Bill's career with the Patriots.
Right.
But he doesn't say that. Right. He says Bill's career.
Right.
Which leads someone to say, how long has this been going on?
And even if you say,
1975?
Yeah, and even if you say, okay, his career as a head coach, well, now you're back to Cleveland.
Right.
Right. So. I just think every time he talks about it, he says a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, at first I was really into this guy, Goodell. I thought, you know, okay, he's got it together, but
now
he doesn't see. He seems to be a little loose-lipped.
Yes,
you know, and not thoughtful.
Isn't he an attorney?
No,
I thought he was an attorney before he got to the league. I thought how he got there was he was
a PR intern.
No, he was the right. He was not an attorney. I am pretty sure.
Strippers, check that. I think Goodell has a law degree.
I believe he started out as an intern in the PR department for the NFL and worked his way up the ranks that
Now, his dad was a big shot.
His dad was a senator from, I think it was from New York.
Okay.
But I don't quite know.
But I don't think he is or was an attorney.
I agree with you. I don't think so.
Well, that would make it, because I think attorneys generally think about their words because they realize they could be used to get all that crap.
Right.
And he doesn't. In my mind, do that very well.
Took a shot at lawyers in his interview yesterday.
But you can back him into corners. You can take specific things he said, use them against him. And then the other thing.
See, I think one of the things that he's trying to do, which I commend him for, is trying to appear to be transparent. He's trying to be forthright, you know. But you know,
if you're trying to appear forthright one day and you say one thing, but then the next day you say something that includes that and more, then now you've just proven you're not being forthright, that you're hiding stuff.
See, I like Goodell in general. I don't think that he's handled this situation with the Patriots, and I'm not saying that just because we're from the Patriots side of things. I don't think he's handled it well for the reasons that you guys are talking about. I think he has said different things. The message has been different from time to time, and I would think that if there's one thing that should be at the forefront of the league's best interest, it would be consistency.
Well, strippers is unbelievable. Goodell is a 1981 graduate of Washington and Jefferson College in Washington, Pennsylvania, with a degree in economics. So he is not a lawyer. And it shows.
So he and Bill.
And I just think that consistency of the message.
Well,
you know, like Andy says, he keeps letting a little bit more out.
And you know what? I think that might be due. He actually came out and said it in his interview yesterday. He said, I'm getting frustrated, as you can see.
Right.
So I think each time he's interviewed about this, he might be even a little bit more frustrated, and maybe he doesn't think it fully through, and maybe he does let slip a little something that he was trying to hide before.
But he's in a position where
he shouldn't be doing that.
He can't.
Right.
Well, we'll see what happens with this. Hopefully – they get it figured out soon. There's
Can I ask you a
there's
question?
Nothing stopping this kid from coming out and saying what he knows or has unless he's lying.
Right. But what did you think about Mr. Kraft's comments?
Which ones? He talked a lot. He was very adamant about...
He went on the offensive yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that aside, I mean, he was definitely on the offensive. He went on the offensive Walsh, the Herald, the whole issue. But the whole theory, and I don't want this to turn into a huge Spygate argument, but that they broke a rule last September, and they've been punished for it, and it in no way sullies the Super Bowls. But in the same day, Goodell is quoted as saying, Belichick, through his career, has taped. And I think that's just kind of contradictory.
Well, no.
That you can so blatantly say it never affected a Super Bowl season when this guy's telling me throughout his career, Belichick has taped.
I know, but see...
And I'm not saying they won Super Bowls because they taped. I'm just saying to so black and white blatantly say, no, we... It was a week one rule we broke and we were punished for it.
This is a hard topic.
Well, no, it wasn't a week one rule you broke. The commissioner just said he's been breaking... You know, he's been taping forever.
Right, and you don't know... What other teams have also been doing the same thing.
Right.
And, you know, I'll argue till the day I die, that rule, until it was clarified by the memo, had the gray area that specifically said for use during the game.
And that's fine. I don't have any disagreement
with that.
And
Belichick looked at that and said, well, if that's what it's saying, I'm going to take advantage of that rule. And he assumed other people are doing that.
But now,
the Patriots may have been the only ones doing it.
But wait a minute. I don't agree with that.
Just on this particular topic alone, now you said that until they clarified the memo. Now, you do admit that that was
absolutely
a full year plus.
Once they
clarified. That memo came out before the previous season, not before last season.
And once they clarified the memo, then they should have known better.
Yeah, now I think you could certainly. Yeah, I'm not either.
But I'm just saying.
If you talk to people in the Patriots, what they intimate is that this got to be a bigger deal than what it was because of the fine and the way it was treated in the media and because of the penalty, and that there's a lot of other things that teams do on a regular basis that makes this like nothing.
I agree with all of that, and that's why I'm saying not only do I think if you're going to have these strict standards and you're looking at all the every little bit of cheating and gamesmanship, my point is, and maybe Mr. Kraft is taking one for the league here and just saying, we cheated, we were punished for it, let's move on. But my point is, I think the Patriots Super Bowls were in some way affected by this. And I think other Super Bowls have been affected by this with other teams winning. Because I believe that other teams were doing this and other stuff.
Well, I believe that every team does something to give themselves a competitive advantage.
Right, but I'm saying stuff that the commissioner is now trying to get rid of.
Well, yeah, that's why he's cracking down on
this
stuff.
But that's my point. And to just blatantly say, it didn't affect any Super Bowls. We were punished. It was a week one rule we broke. We were punished, and we've moved on, I think. And like I said, maybe he's taking one for the team and just trying to be cut and dry here. Let's not look any deeper. The fact that the 2000 Ravens did this and the 96 whoever did this, the Packers, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's the same thing with steroids. I mean, you know, every team had players probably in baseball that did steroids.
Right.
So you can't go back and start taking away records and taking away championships. It's an unfortunate period in baseball.
Right. But I wish somebody would say that. I kind of wish somebody would say that. We're turning the page now. We've had some rules that were misinterpreted.
There
were
gray
areas.
In the NFL, this isn't just a period. This is from the beginning of the NFL.
Right.
From the beginning of football.
Right.
You know, teams have done whatever they could to get an advantage, whether it's stealing playbooks or – You know, Al Davis buying up all the houses around this practice facility because he thought people were spying on him or whatever. This has happened forever. So,
well, this is the
part. But that's my point right there. And yet, Mr. Kraft, and again, maybe he's just trying to move on here, but
well, I think it's
disingenuous that he comes out and just said no Super Bowl was ever affected by it. Because you just said this stuff has been happening since the start of football.
I'd rather he say
Super Bowl was affected by something.
Okay.
Well, this is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Just on this topic, and this is where I think that I kind of side with Andy a little bit with Goodell. And I think that he seems to be so much concerned and worried about the integrity of the league. And I do think there's an element of Robert Kraft taking one for the league here and the Patriots, you know, biting the bullet. Because I do think that some of this stuff has gone on, and I think that the league
and worse
is not really being forthright when it tells you, you know, the quotes that Goodell has had about the integrity of the league. I think that that's what they're trying desperately to avoid.
Absolutely. Even the appearance of impropriety, yes, you try to avoid. But I think he is admitting, whether or not he says it or not, this crackdown, you wouldn't have this crackdown if it was just one team doing it.
Right.
So
we all know the Patriots aren't the only team that's
right.
Been
so I don't
we
think he needs to say that, yeah, teams have always tried to do stuff and blah, blah, blah. His crackdown is evidence that, you know, he's got to, you know, make even the appearance of impropriety something that they're cracking down
on. But that's what happens. I mean, we know that these things happen, but not everybody gets caught. It happens in all walks of life. I mean, is San Francisco – I mean, maybe they are. I haven't really followed it. But is San Francisco putting up this stink about the tampering thing that they got? I mean, we
not
all know that everybody tampers.
Right.
We know that. But, you know, they were the only ones that got punished for it.
Right.
That's
I mean,
right.
We know that everybody's doing it, but I just, you know, that's the way they got caught. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So you have to make the rules that strict that, you know, it's not worth even trying to get around them.
But everyone's always going to try. It's the same as steroids. You brought up steroids. They're always going to try. There's always going to be new designer drugs. There's always going to be new ways to cheat and everything.
Yeah. You know, with this whole thing, too, I was trying to figure out. You know, like, Robert was really strong with his language with Matt Walsh yesterday. And I applaud him for that because, you know, so often I think in this day and age we fall behind the, well, I don't have any comment on that. I'm not going to comment. You know, obviously he's upset about this. He's upset about this, and he let that frustration show a little bit yesterday. I think that showed that he's human. I don't know if it was the smartest thing to do because I don't know what Matt Walsh has. And I don't know if Mr. Kraft can possibly know exactly what Matt Walsh has. I'm sure he's going off of what Bill has told him because we all know that the ownership's not involved. In there's no layer of ownership involved in whatever they did or didn't do before
the
Super Bowl.
And Bill has come right out and said, you know, categorically, I've never authorized
he's never
anyone
watched
to
the tape or
and I've never watched
one.
It. So,
but that doesn't mean, in my opinion,
it doesn't mean that Matt Walsh didn't
wrong.
Tape. He could have done it.
The other thing, and everybody was saying how, you know, he obviously didn't. He said he taped the thing, and he obviously doesn't have a tape because he hasn't come out. I agree that he doesn't have a tape because I don't think this amount of time would have gone by with him not showing it. I originally was thinking, I thought he just said that he had information about the walkthrough, but I went back and I looked at the story today from February 2nd, and it specifically says a source says they taped a walkthrough.
That's right. Matt
Walsh
was named in that story.
No,
right.
No.
That's
not Matt Walsh.
That's right.
Right. That's. I mean, we all assume it's Matt Walsh is the source.
Right.
But it says a source according to a source.
Right. Right. So, you know, who knows?
But I just thought that was interesting because I was, you know. Time goes by. It's been 6-7 weeks now since that story came out.
To me, it seems like 10 years.
I was thinking like that, you know, maybe he just claims that he has information. Like, you know, what's to stop him from saying, hey, look, I did it. I don't have the tape to show you. I don't have the evidence, but I did this. I taped it, and they watched it. I don't know what they did with the tape.
Well, then how would he know if they watched it?
Maybe he was there.
Oh, okay. Well, then he does know what they did with. Oh, you mean afterwards?
Yes. Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't know where the tape is now.
Right.
The physical evidence I don't have.
Right.
That's a problem for Matt Walsh, and that might be a reason why he's not coming out. But in that story, that source said that they taped the walkthrough specifically. So I don't know. That doesn't say that they had the tape. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think everybody's dismissing Walsh because he hasn't done anything, and I certainly would agree. I don't think he has a tape because of that. I'm not agreeing that I don't think he's done anything. Because I think that there may have been some improprieties going on.
Yeah, well, I tend to think that if he did it on his own, trying to be a hero.
He may have.
You know?
You know what, Fred? I think that's a very plausible scenario.
So without turning this whole show into this crap, say that happened, what should have taken place at the time? If he comes to Ernie Adams' name has been thrown out there, Bill's name, say Matt Walsh comes back on the Saturday, the Friday, and says, guys, they didn't kick me out. I had a camera, so I just rolled on it, or whatever. What should have happened? Should the Patriots have gone to the league immediately, or do you cover it up? What should have happened then? Because that doesn't make it okay. If he told you and you didn't tell the league,
that's true.
You can still kind of get in trouble.
Well, I know what I would have done if I was truly bothered by this. It's not I would have fired the guy.
Probably.
As soon as we get back from the Super Bowl, he's gone. Instead,
well, no, I mean, I think you need to fire him right there.
He got promoted.
I think you need to fire him on the spot before the game.
Fred, you mentioned that the phrase appearance of impropriety. I think that's an appearance of impropriety to me.
Right.
It's circumstantial, no doubt.
Well, we just don't know what
he went from a low-level employee to a higher level.
I mean, that's why we need this guy to get on the record and say what he knows.
Yeah. But the problem is what Paul said. If he doesn't have a tape and he gets on the record and he doesn't have protection, then they say, you don't have a tape, you're lying, and you sue.
See, that's where I think that he's worried about.
You can't prove that he's lying if he just says
But that's what's going to happen to him is he's going to be the laughingstock.
But if he
doesn't
have
a tape.
For slander, for
yes, and
I mean,
he's going to get
who
sued.
Has to where's the burden of proof? Do they have to prove he slandered him, or does he have to prove that he had?
But
he
if he simply says this is what I did, and it stops there, then can't.
But it doesn't stop there because if he says I came back and gave it to them and they watched it,
well, if he
you just implicated the Patriots.
If he knows that for a fact, then and he was there, then these they you won't you can't sue him unless it's. You know, in court.
But how?
So
can,
those, but who has
but
to
how
prove?
Can he prove it?
Well,
which end?
Listen to me.
Okay.
At some point, people will have to say what they have under oath.
But they can lie.
They can. They
if,
can
if
lie.
It was a, say it was a room.
Prison.
No, but I mean,
they
it was
lie.
A room with
but
Matt
but
Walsh,
now
Bill
lie,
Belichick, and Ernie Adams.
Right, but now if you lie, you go to jail.
Right.
But if you know it can't be proven, I'd lie.
All it takes is one person to corroborate.
But that's my point. Maybe it's Ernie, Bill, and Matt Walsh in a room. There's three people.
Well, if
we know Ernie and Bill are aligned.
Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, that creates a gray area and a problem for Matt Walsh.
But see, I don't think that the Patriots would have come out so strong in what they said if, in fact, what you're saying happened. That they sat in a room and watched.
See, I disagree with that a little
bit. I would.
Fred, because
if I'm as close as Bill and Ernie are, I know that we'll die together.
Maybe they know now that he doesn't have a tape, and that's allowing them to be as strong
and
as
I'm
they are.
And I'm guessing they went to Mr. Kraft and said, no, never happened, because you can't let the circle grow. I mean, you tell one person.
Oh, yeah, I have no doubt that Mr. Kraft was told by somebody that it didn't happen.
That they, those two, because I think Ernie Adams and Bill Belichick are as tight as can be. If they put their backs to each other and just say, we're fighting this.
Well, that's, I mean, and that would be the case if they were the only two people on Earth that knew about this.
And Matt Walsh. I mean,
right.
He knows.
Right. I can't believe that. I got to believe that there's other people that would
have
known.
But that's my question. Who?
And
where's
you're playing
the proof?
A real risky game on the Patriots' part if you come out so strong in your denial.
Well, no, because on the Patriots' part, that's just Robert and whoever believing Bill when he says,
don't forget,
never happened.
A lot of time went by before they came out
but
real strongly.
But they said that they interviewed 50 people on this thing.
Right, but none of those people know anything. You know, I'm saying in our little hypothetical, Matt Walsh, Bill Belichick, and Ernie Adams.
Well, you don't think that anyone else in the Patriots, you know, organization at that time would have known about this?
I think there's a possibility they wouldn't.
Okay. I
need to know who they were interviewing.
Bill
too.
Keeps pretty tight wraps on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And
especially
about
stuff not this major.
I mean, you just don't know when, you know, like Roger Clemens. He comes out and says, you know, I wasn't at that party. All of a sudden, 2 weeks later, this photo comes. You just
but Fred,
when you when you lie like
the difference
that,
is Bill Belichick's
difference.
A smart guy. Yes. Roger Clemens is a moron.
No, that's the difference between a level of intelligence
right,
and a third grade.
That's the bank robber who gets nabbed at the corner.
When you lie, about something, you just don't know what other people are willing to say or was out
that's
there.
That's true. That's
you're
why
taking a big risk.
That's why there's a lot of layers to the story. Oh, I think that's definitely a risk, Fred. They went on the offensive and they're attacking Walsh.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens, but. I clearly agree, and I am in your camp that he does not have a tape.
There's
which
no
and without and without that, I don't think he has anything to stand on because no one's going to believe him. Nobody's going to believe him.
Which is why he's going to just disappear.
That's why I don't make fun of him for not coming out without the indemnification or whatever all the legal mumbo jumbo is here. That's stalling this because I think he's going to get crucified if he comes out and says, "Hey, look. I don't have any physical evidence. This is what happened. This is my side of the story." He's going to get killed by a much, much more powerful organization than anything he could possibly
muster.
Like McNamee.
Forget that.
He has McNamee has physical evidence and two players corroborating his story, and he's gotten killed by all those Republicans or Democrats that just started shredding him down layer by layer.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something. You know, talking about steroids, when Canseco first came out, you know, everyone made fun of him. You know, this guy's a rat. He's, you know, selling out baseball, selling out his teammates. But now, things have come out. Now people are starting to say things. I think eventually, especially in this day and age, the truth tends to come out. It's so hard to hide things these days. It just eventually the truth comes out. On the phone is Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
doing pretty good, guys.
Sorry to make you wait, but we had a lot to talk about here.
No, actually, that's probably one of the subjects I was going to ask about. But first off, is Tom there?
No, Tom
he's
is not
here.
Today.
Is he banned because he swore?
No.
Are you kidding? If we got banned every time we swore, none of us would be
No,
here.
After he swore, he took me outside,
except
smacked
for Eric.
Me around.
NPR Eric would be here.
Yeah, no, he's just not here today.
That's because I wanted to call up on that. I want to make sure he serves a suspension or something.
Oh, that's true.
Good point. Anthony was banned for the rest of the show.
Yeah, because James in England wanted to know the same thing. Yeah. He emailed in. He wondered if he got a one-day ban.
Let's call this consider this suspension.
Right, consider this the suspension.
Yes, that'll be a suspension. Good. We want to be on an equal playing field here.
Right, no double standards. We're like Bobby Bowden. Oh, yeah, he's missing the show. Yeah, he was suspended. Tough discipline.
Well, I'll give you my quick opinion on this Walsh character. I honestly think he was trying to make a quick buck probably on a couple of interviews, you know, during the time of the Super Bowl because that was pretty much a hot topic. And like you guys were saying, I just don't think he really has the evidence or the things that he's saying is just pretty much he's repeating, you know, the taping practices as in what they were already suspended or got a draft pick taken away from. That's my feeling on it. And I wish they would just end the whole subject because, like, you know, I forget about it for a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden they bring some new evidence or, like, you know, they bring the story back up. I just want to be done and over with.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I wish it was over, but I wish there was a resolution.
Exactly.
I don't wish it was over.
Well, I don't think it is ever going to be over until there is a resolution.
I think, let's
put it this way. You know, looking at it from the Patriots side, obviously, because that's where I'm from, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we want to sell a DVD about this era, this Belichick, Brady era. But nothing's been resolved.
Yeah.
And there's a taint over that DVD. You know, because
I agree with
it's
you,
always, yeah, they were a great team, but. Mm-hmm. And that, from a Patriots perspective, is what I want to eliminate.
Yeah.
I want to eliminate
the
but.
Has the story been brought, like, I haven't seen anything in, you know, what I've been reading. Has it been brought up again up there in the north or something?
Well, yeah, the
owners'
meetings were yesterday, and Kraft went on record. Belichick even had a couple quotes, and Goodell addressed the media about Spygate.
They're down in your area.
Yeah, it's actually down with you where it's coming from, Palm Beach.
Oh, yeah, no, it's true. You know, I've been a little busy and whatnot. I've been trying to kind of pay attention, but pretty much the only thing I've noticed on the NFL Network, what they've been speaking about, you know, the Shield got a brand-new look there, and, you know, the couple of the rule changes, but it didn't, like, on the NFL Network, actually, this morning, they didn't even touch on any of that.
Right.
Yeah, no, this was a story up here in both papers today with all the quotes.
It was actually in papers all over the country.
Over the country, yeah.
Very strong.
Yeah.
Robert Kraft came out very strong against both Matt Walsh and you know, the whole situation.
And Belichick came out. Belichick
came
out.
I think personally, like I said, I think Walsh is a little bit cocky, you know, especially with that whole thing about the wedding when he wasn't even working with the Patriots. You know, it just shows you the type of character he is. And I just think he was trying to make a quick buck, and now he's kind of put himself in a corner here, and it's like, okay, where's the evidence? And I don't think he has it.
The thing that is in the back of my mind is why did he wait this? If he wanted to just make a
it
quick
has
buck,
to do with money at all.
Why did he wait this long to do it? They won two other Super Bowls after that first one that he wasn't involved
and
in.
And I happen to know for a fact that he was not initiating the contact, which is somewhat being portrayed now, because I know for a fact that at least two different journalists contacted him, and he refused to talk to them. Local journalists, and he refused to discuss
it. On that note, Paul, what's to say, like, maybe those papers didn't say, hey, you know, we have a couple bucks for you. Tell us your story.
I don't think so.
And that gave him the light.
That's not the way papers work.
No.
Well, you never know. That's New York for you.
And they
didn't know. I like
that. And they didn't do it. So what does that tell you? I mean, he openly offered. They said that they wouldn't do that. The Times... they wouldn't pay his legal situation, and I think the guy said, and this is a paper, by the way, that had a columnist that made up things. So it's not exactly the bastion of integrity, the New York Times, and they wouldn't do it. So I just don't see it, and I agree with Eric's point. I think that if he was looking for a quick buck, he'd have been looking for that quick buck in 2004,
right?
Not in 2008.
I think it just got out of control.
Yeah.
But now it's spiraled out. The McFadden thing visiting the Patriots here, that's really why I called up as well.
I just think it's them doing their due diligence.
Yeah. Hey, he could be available at 7, and if he is, they need to know who this guy is.
Right.
Yeah. One of dozens of guys that they've talked to.
And he's got question marks.
He's a top 10 pick.
You got to get a feel for what you actually believe and don't believe about him in terms of the off-the-field stuff and his character.
What's the number of players that you can have personal interviews with that you can fly
30,
in?
30.
I believe it's 30.
Yeah, so 30 guys. I mean, if it was 10 guys, you may not want to waste it on a guy.
Don't you think
it's 30 you bring in, too. You can meet with people.
You can meet with as many as you want. But you can bring 30 to Foxborough, not counting any local
guys. Yeah, so I mean, you know, bring
but don't you think it makes sense?
I take nothing from it, guys. It's just like, I really feel like, geez, why are they even wasting their time? It's I think you're a fool if you think the Patriots are going to take him at 7.
I don't know.
Well,
you never know.
Well, he might be. They might consider him too good to pass up at 7.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
You think?
I don't think they'll take him, but I'm saying there's a possibility.
Right.
I agree with you, Anthony. I don't think that it makes much sense to draft a running back that high in the draft, is even one as good as Mendenhall or McFadden. I just think that there's other ways to better spend the money. But if you're the Patriots and you're 7, and in a year like this where there doesn't even seem to be any sort of consensus what the top – I mean, people know who the top 7, 8, 9 guys are going to be,
but not where
no idea
go.
What order. Doesn't it make sense to make sure that you do your due diligence about all of those guys?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
and any of those guys could be available at 7. You want to know everything you can know
and
about
them. And you're probably going to end up playing against them one day, so you might as well know
or
as
more
much as you can about them.
You're playing on draft day against the Jets and everybody else, and you could use the interview for as little as, so you met with the Jets. What have they said to you? You know, you feel like the Jets are going to draft you. It could be research on just how the front six are going to play out, so you know what guys are going to be available when you pick 7.
Or or he could be a bargaining chip if he does fall to 7 and the Patriots really don't want him, but they know there are other teams who do who'd be willing to trade up and maybe give them another first round pick out of it. You know, they
that's
have
a
to
good point also.
You know, they have to know what they're getting into and what there
smoke
might be
screen,
out there.
You know,
exactly.
You know, now you're letting someone know that, hey, the Patriots are interested. I got to get up to 7 to get
him
if I want him.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of layers to it. I think that this is stuff that happens every year, but I think this is one of the biggest names involved
because they're
picking 7.
And they have a running back that they just took in the first round a couple of years ago, so it's a position where you might think, whoa, you know.
Well, and we've also, I mean, the landscape changed over the last 2 months of the season. You know, last September or October, you'd asked about McFadden being available at 7. I guarantee you a lot more fans and people would have said, yeah, we got to take him. Maroney's a bust. He stinks. If we can get a super talent like McFadden, we'll take him. I think it's changed because of what he did the last 3 regular season games and into the playoffs. My opinion is he stinks, McFadden, that is.
He doesn't stink.
He stinks.
He doesn't stink.
He's the most overrated prospect in the draft.
This is why people don't like you,
Andy. Make sure you paste that spot so you can play that in case he breaks out
with
you.
Yeah. Gary, you print that. Put that on tape. I want it on tape.
He stinks.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
What exactly is he
printing?
All right,
Anthony. Whatever. Put it on tape.
Mark tape.
McFadden stinks.
Hey,
will not be a great pro and will not be in the league in 5 years.
All right. We have a lot of reaction to last week's Paul and Tom fight. So we'll get to that right after this break.
4-0 New England. What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Hi, Rebs fans. Tropical Tom here from TNTVacations.com. As the official travel provider of the New England Revolution, we're offering all Rebs fans special discounts on trips to Mexico, the Caribbean, Bermuda, and even Costa Rica. With TNT, you get the lowest prices, plus the kind of personalized service you just don't get from those out-of-state discount websites. So join the travel revolution and visit TNTVacations.com/Rebs.
TNT Vacations. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sackatack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sackatack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
BFW in progress. One big, happy family.
Unless you get 2 feet in, you're out of bounds, period.
For that reason, I don't like it. So I guess I differ with you and Tom, then.
I don't want these idiots interpreting.
See, I do.
You do.
I don't want, I don't want it to be black
and white.
But
that's more for you to complain about.
There was no foul on
the play. That happens.
I know, but let's not.
I don't like.
I don't want it in the hands of the ref.
I don't like when there's plays that every football fan from age 8 to 80 can look and say, that guy caught that ball.
I don't ever remember being in an uproar. When they get pushed out, I just say, ah, damn.
You can't be in an uproar about a catch either. That's the rule.
I don't get that.
There is no rule, Fred, in the college game. There is no...
Well, the rule is...
There's no sense of getting upset about it.
Here's the rule. The rule is you have to have at least 1 foot in bounds.
Right, and it doesn't matter if a guy knocks you down.
That's right.
So why would you get upset about it? Because you can't... There's no rule that...
I know, but...
There's no black... I mean, there's
least,
nothing to
there's
do.
At least... Two or three plays last year, it could have gone either way.
Right, and I'd like to see that come down to the ability.
You like it to come down to the ref?
You would like it to come down to nothing.
I'd like it to come down to, did he get 2 feet in? No, it's not a catch.
What's the difference? They got screwed no matter which rule you use.
Not if you were on the other team, you'd think that it was a great call.
Well, it doesn't make it right, though. That's your opinion. I don't think you're wrong. It's just my opinion is that I'd rather have the ref make a call. You don't feel that strongly about anything.
There's a lot more we got to talk about. We're already arguing about this one.
I mean, I like when
the
referees have a chance to make.
Well, you're getting all red in the face over catching a ball in bounds.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. I mean, I can stop talking about it if that's what you guys want me to do.
The game's
going to
be played. It's going to be played under either rule.
Don't say I don't care strongly about anything because that's bullshit.
Oh.
Hi.
You're not supposed to say that, Tom.
See, I'm the one that's getting red in the face, but I'm not the one that's going off swearing about things.
Well, you feel strongly things here, but when you go on the real big show, you don't feel strongly
about
anything.
That's a whole different set of arguments. I don't know why you have... This isn't even the forum for this. You can be the big tough guy that you like to paint yourself as, so all the readers write in and say, oh, Big Tom's a tough
guy. I can't
help
they like me.
That scab just got scratched off. All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the little underlying hostility there, or what?
Oh.
I mean, I'm sorry if some of that rubs you the wrong way, but I don't just go spouting off at the, flying off at the hip all the time.
That's
fine. That's your style. You can do whatever way you want.
So
part of the reason why no one talks to us, by the way.
Oh!
Now, back to the guys. And that's no bullshit.
Oh. All right, back there at PFW in progress. That was it. Big
awkward
the gloves
at the
down
time.
On Thursday.
Very awkward moment at the time.
And now we don't know where Tom is.
Paul had him killed.
What's that?
Paul had him killed.
Well, let's see.
I have no
My
comment
favorite
on
part
that.
Is Fred, though.
I do not recall.
Then you end up getting screwed or something. Well, not if you're on the other team.
Anyway, without rehashing that whole argument, people do have reaction. Rachel from Manila writes in, I just finished listening to your last podcast, the one where Tom and Paul had a smackdown. Since I started listening to you guys, I've been amazed on how quickly you can shift from arguing at the top of your lungs with each other to laughing at each other's jokes a minute later. How do you do it? How do you prevent the arguments from spilling outside of the program and into your personal lives? We don't. In the history of PFW, has there ever been an argument that carried on even after the show was over?
No, don't change the subject.
Absolutely.
Answer the question.
No, I mean, we argue all the time. That's who we
but
are.
But I can't really remember anything that ever spilled over outside the show, do you?
Well, the nature of the argument didn't stop sometimes.
Yeah. No, yeah. But, I mean, it's not one
never
of those
like,
things.
Never like, oh, I'm not talking to him.
Yeah, right. It wasn't a personal.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we Andy and I absolutely torture Brian Morey on this show. But it's never been something that we carry over and, you know, we have like this checklist upstairs where we're going to get Brian Morey someday. I mean, it's just sport. It's football.
Throw me to become a teacher.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about football. You know, so it's
and while
right.
I'm
it's
excited
football.
About my future.
And we do have fun with it. And I apologize for anything I said last week that may have offended anybody.
Shane in Miami says, I love Thursday's show. Talk about letting it loose. Tom dropping the S word, inner PFW tension and hostility, and all over a stupid argument over the force out rule.
That's
I love it.
Part.
I wish I could have seen that show on video. PFW Thunderdome 2008, cage match, no holds barred. Andy coaches Tom. Fred coaches up Paul and offers a Bass Pro Shop gift certificate if he wins. Christina and Lori can help B-Lo announce it.
Oh.
And Eric can stand by at ringside waiting for the guys to take their shirts off and oil up. This is great.
I'm not oiling up.
Thanks for brightening up my day with a little excitement. PFW in Progress rocks.
I'm glad we entertained you.
You get hosed there, by the way.
Yeah, I get Fred.
You get Fred, and he's going to turn on you at some point in that match.
But can I just say something? Andy's response to the point that the emailer made about all of this over an argument about the force out rule, and Andy's like laughing. That was what set me off in the first place.
That's what I find funny.
Because Fred and I can't have any conversations and disagree about anything without you and Tom laughing and making fun of us
because you guys are
above that. And that was the whole point was I said, you don't care about any of this.
You both
and he took
so
it the wrong way, and that's
how,
that's how it all escalated.
That's
but it's not really feeling passionately about it. He had a point of view that he was putting forth, and I had a point of view that differed with that.
Well, you're able to argue for 10 minutes about it.
So what?
But it doesn't mean. What does that mean?
It's radio. You're supposed
talking
to talk.
About things.
I understand.
We talked for 2 hours.
Up
you can't do Urban Dictionary
arguing.
Words of the Day for 2 hours.
But I couldn't drum up the passion to argue about the push-out.
Well, maybe you don't care about sports, and you know.
But my point is really, it's not like a passion that gets you. It's not like I sit
really
home at night and I say, you know what?
My work at Bridgewater.
This you know, foot out of bounds thing is really weighing on me. I really got to voice my opinion. It's just something that came up, and Fred said something, and it was some of the stuff that I didn't really agree with. And
I can't drum up the
passion. We just talked about it. But it's not a passion.
The way you were arguing about it, it looked like it was.
Well, I was a lot more
like
upset with Tom than I was with Fred.
Right.
Oh, obviously. I know.
I mean,
why would you be upset with me? I didn't do anything.
Right. That's my point.
I have a different opinion.
Exactly. And I even said that. I said, that's your opinion, and I don't think you're wrong. I just disagree with it at all, a little bit.
What about the hair thing?
Stupid.
Yeah.
I feel more passionate
about
that.
That's a dumb one. Who cares?
That's okay to feel passionately about
that. But that's what I mean. I'm passionate about some things, not all of them, though.
But every
you
time,
two argue every week about something.
Yeah, but that's just us.
Well, so what?
Every
week.
We're like brothers. We bicker at each other all the time. What are you going to do?
That's funny.
What about the face mask one?
Which one's that? Oh,
only 15 yards.
I like that, by the way. You know what was surprising?
Yeah, that's okay.
So that means they're just going to ignore the other ones, right?
Well, like that incidental contact, like, you know, that blocking thing with, you know, or a cornerback who's jamming the receiver. If he happens to hit the face mask, that's not a penalty anymore.
Okay. But what about the guy tackling?
Oh, wait a minute. Who's there?
This is webmaster Chris Ferrer from Patriots.com. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
Wow.
You suck, Andy.
That was pretty good, huh?
That was good. It's a good read.
Become nice. A good bit. Well, it's well edited by Gary. In honor of the owners' meetings, Gary came up with the Florida Fudgesicle.
Oh.
That's the Florida Fudgesicle.
Why are all these words like named after a state or a town or whatever?
Because they're geared toward the topics we're talking about.
Okay. But they're the local specialties.
Yeah. I know, but are there any Urban Dictionary words that aren't like that?
You got to go to Buffalo, you try the Buffalo wings. Go to Florida, you try the Florida.
I don't know. Andy pretty much saw every one of those. So.
Oh, God, no. There's millions. There's endless. But as Fred says, some of them start to repeat. All of a sudden, the Florida Fudgesicle is the Fresno Fudgesicle.
Right.
The same thing.
Well, it's
just where you're doing it.
East Coast, West Coast. Yeah, there's a difference.
Sean in Richmond, Virginia, Paul, he thinks that you're going through menopause and that you're schizophrenic because of your stance on the push-out rule.
So. I understand why the reaction would be to that. I am very critical of referees. That's no secret there. I think they make the wrong calls, but I do think that there are some things that I think they take away from the referee just because I think the referee makes wrong calls doesn't mean I don't want them to make any calls. I don't like black and white rules that say you can't call something that you see. And that's what I think of the tuck rule. That's what I think of the force out rule. That's what I think of this catch thing when a guy makes a sliding catch and the ball's touching the ground. Look at it. Did he catch it or not? Don't tell me, well, the rule black and white says if any part of the ball is touching the ground, it's automatically incomplete. I don't like when there's no judgment.
But now so you get into my thing where I just want 15-yard penalties that they can throw on anything they think is unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah, I can understand why, you know, listening to that, you would think that that's a contradictory statement based on my constant bashing of officials. And I do think the officiating is leaves a little something to be desired. But, I it was funny because Mike Reese had his notes this week. I don't know if any of you guys saw them, his Sunday notes. And he
saw
had
them as I flipped by.
Yeah, well, he had all the different rule proposals. Did you see this, Fred? He had all the different rules proposals,
and
he had different people commenting on him. He had Jim Tunney.
I actually read some of it.
Was the official that he had talking about some of the rule things. And surprisingly, in quotes, he was all for, you know, taking everything out of the hands of the – he doesn't like the face mask thing because now it's, you know, totally up to the referee. It's – these guys don't want any responsibility for anything. You know, there's got to be some judgment.
He doesn't
like it because now – did he just touch it or did he grab it? Now it's either a penalty or not, where it used to be automatic. It at least was a penalty.
Five
or 15, but it was a penalty no matter what. Now, I don't know, did he grab it? Did he not? And they want to wash their hands of everything,
right?
The officials. And I'm like, they're out there for a reason. Every other sport has judgment calls, and they seem to get away with it. This is the only sport that it seems like you can't have a judgment call.
They also get paid pretty well to be out there,
you know,
17 times.
I mean, in baseball, every single pitch is a judgment call.
I still think.
How do they get by?
I still think they should have full-time officials.
Yeah, I don't really think that matters.
Well, I think it kind of does, though.
Why?
What do you do with them?
What do they do the other 6 days a week?
I think they need to study more.
What are they
going
to study, though?
Their own game tapes, their own bad calls from the previous season. There's always, you know, constant improvement.
I think they do that, but I don't think you need a whole 6 months to do it.
I think it would have minimal impact.
Doesn't every other professional sport, have full-time officials?
Yes, they do, but they have 82 games, 162 games.
And they play every day. The officials probably officiate more than 82 games, too.
Right, right.
You know, in those sports, in basketball and hockey.
Sure, they don't get days off. They go to the next city.
So, no, I
hear what you're saying. It's a theory. You're not the only one with that.
As a matter of fact, you are in the vast majority. I mean, everybody thinks that's the cure-all.
I think it would do nothing.
Especially just since it's the biggest, most popular game we have in this country. It makes a ton of money. You would think that that's one area where they would want to be absolutely – there'd be no excuse at that point.
There's no excuse now.
Yeah, but I'll give you an example, though. I was listening to Mark Cuban on the radio the other day.
Oh, I heard
that. According to him, in the NBA, they don't even do what the NFL does, which is have at the end of the year a review committee and rate these guys and, you know, all that stuff.
If that's true, that's a sham.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know,
there's
that's
no
one of the things he's trying to push for the NBA.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. How else do you learn from your mistakes if you don't go back and look at them and, you know, have whoever the overseer is point out and say, you know, that call you made in the finals, it was
the whole thing
Super Bowl, you know?
You know, and it started with baseball where, you know, there was a time in baseball where, you know, the rule of the umpire was that's it. You know, you could argue all you want, but he was never, ever going to overturn a rule. And they kind of stuck together. You couldn't criticize them. You know, they had a pretty strong union, that whole thing. And, you know, the philosophy behind that is, you know, these guys, it's a real tough job. You can't let them go out there with this extra pressure that every little thing they're going to do is be scrutinized, or they're going to be – they won't be able to be, you know, loose and calling the game as they see it.
Why?
Well, that's a good question. I mean,
Tom Brady or any player is playing with that pressure.
But that used to be the philosophy is, you know, ease up on these guys, you know.
That's my point for them having it full, you know, having them be full time. Because then you can spend all that time. And I mean, the offseason, they're concentrating on their other jobs or their families and this and that. And then come, what is it, you know, July, when the players go to training camp, the refs have to go to training camp too. And then they have to get back into it. If they're working on this stuff all through the offseason and the rules changes happen, you know, in the spring like they're being proposed at the annual meeting, then they start working immediately on that. They start going back and looking at tapes. They're fully prepared.
Well, I don't know
by
if
the
you
time
can do
training
this,
camp comes around.
And I don't know the reality how realistic this is, but if I was the NFL, I'd get together with the NCAA and I'd like to make the rules identical. Because then the college like becomes that. A feeder system for the pros.
I like that idea.
You know?
Like
it.
Can I get passionately behind that?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's, I like a, that's a home run.
Now, I'm not passionate about it, but I like it.
You know, so
I was just using the passionate.
Then it could be a full-time job.
I think that's a home run. You have your feeder system. The rules are the same. The players are familiar with them. The officials, the coaches are familiar with them.
Right.
I think that's a home run.
You know, now, I'm sure the NCAA has a reason why they only have one foot in it, except instead of two, but I don't know what it is. I'd like the NFL to actually have one foot in. Why not?
I think that would be a good
move. Why not? You know, why do you need two? You know? But anyway. So that's what's the other rule? Oh, the seeding. I heard that one's going to go down. That may not pass.
I did read that, yes.
And I kind of like it, but they say that it'll take away from the divisional rivalries.
Oh, that's who's making that argument?
Well, if you're in a tough division, for example, Pat Bowlen is the one who said it. We're in a tough division, which are going to mean more losses for us than, let's say, right now the Patriots are in a weak division.
Right.
They're going to get – it's basically automatic wins. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be higher seeded, you know, through the benefit of not playing in a tough division.
And that was – we talked about that last week. That's the argument. If you play in a tough division where you don't have enough wins, you could be clearly the better football team going on the road to a wild card team. I don't know.
I think
how
you
often
have to take those chances.
Happen.
I mean, I
understand the theory. I disagree with that reasoning, the logic behind that, because I think.
So do I.
You know, let's use this one specifically. If Denver's good enough to have be a wild card, it has nothing to do with the Patriots' record. You know, if they have, they could stand to benefit from this. If you're in a tougher division, you'd stand to benefit, not be hurt by it. No one in the so-called weak division is going to be a wild card and make the playoffs. Only the division winner is. If they're really not that good, but they're only good because they're in a weak division, then the wild card has a chance to have a better record. If they're in such a tough division and they're so much a better team, how does Denver get penalized for being in a tough division over a team in a weak division?
If you're in a great division and you split all your division games, that's three losses right there. Right,
but what does that have to do with the Patriots?
Well, the Patriots are going 6-0 in their division.
Right, but they were going to, no matter which rules you go by, that's going to be a better record than yours.
Right.
I don't understand where he's got the inequity. I mean, it's obviously tougher to be in a tough division than a weak division. I understand that. But where playoff wise.
Well, they look at the year that the Patriots went 10-6 and won their division. They actually hosted a game to a team, Jacksonville, who had a better record.
Right. But I'm saying Pat Bowlen's scenario that he's unfolding, if he's in a tougher division.
Right. Wild card team.
If you keep it the way it is now, if you're in a tougher division and have a weaker, a worse record, you're not going to be hosting the Patriots.
True.
So if you change it and you're in a tougher division, I don't understand where the inequity comes in. It's the same. You don't understand what I'm saying?
Not really. I'm with you.
Did I miss something? I didn't see Pat Bowlen's quotes. Maybe I'm messing this all up.
I didn't see his quotes either, but.
Maybe explain it again what Pat Bowlen was saying, because maybe I'm messing this up and I didn't catch part of your message.
It's I know what you're saying, because his thing is, okay, I'm in a tough division and I win my division. He's saying I win my division, but I'm only 9-7 or 10-6.
And there's a wild card team in another division.
A wild card
who has a better record than I do.
So
I have to go travel to them.
I'll have to go now travel to that wild card team to play.
Yeah.
I'm
the better team.
Right.
Yeah. My point on that would be, I don't necessarily think that the wild card team is the wild card team because they play in a bad division. As much as maybe he does, because obviously there's at least one team in that division better than you.
Right.
So now you're only dealing with one other, you know, the two other teams. I'm not so sure that.
No, I don't think
it's as much of an inequity as he's painting it out to be.
I think
most years it wouldn't. It's going to happen like once every.
Exactly.
Time.
It's cyclical, like
the way if they kept it the way it is now, it's probably not going to happen the way it happened in 05 very often.
You're right.
With Jacksonville having a 12-4 record and the Patriots having 10.
Yeah, this scenario would probably come up like once every 8 years that it even affects anything.
Right.
And then for it to actually affect. The same division, you multiply, there's four of them, so it's like once every 32 years it might affect the NFC, the AFC West or something ridiculous. So it's really not that big of an issue. It's sort of, I kind of feel like the same way about the feed in or out. They're going to play by the rules.
Yeah,
whatever.
I mean,
who cares?
It just seems like every
And it did happen last year, too. It happened to Tampa Bay and the Giants.
Right.
The Giants had a better record than Tampa. Tampa was the division winner.
If the Giants played at home, they may not be Super Bowl champions now.
See, but that's what I'm talking about with Pat Bowlen's thing. You know, his whole scenario is you can be in the tougher division and therefore have a worse record
and have to travel
to someone else. Well, my point is you were in the tougher division. That caused you to have a wild card. Mm-hmm. This at least gives you a chance, if you really are a better team, to host that game against a weak division. That's why I don't necessarily
You could benefit.
Because I think the exact scenario that he's unfolded last year in the NFC East and the NFC South. The NFC South was a weak division won by a weak team,
right.
Tampa Bay.
And the Giants went.
And they weren't as good as the Giants, which was proven in the playoffs when the Giants pasted them on the road. I think that's what Bolin's talking about, and I think it worked exactly the opposite of the way he's saying.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
But I do agree with Andy. I think that's completely cyclical in terms of the strength of the divisions and how they – it's probably going to get affected doing it this way just as many times as it would be if you changed it.
That's why I don't think they should change it.
I wouldn't – you know.
Sort of like the seeding thing where every once in a while they say, well, they should add another playoff team because this team was – well, and then the other 5 years it worked out fine.
I don't mind changing because I don't mind the notion. To me, it's not an unfair – notion to say the teams with the best records are going to host the games. I don't think you can fall back on anything and say that that's unfair. Whereas I think there is an element of, I have a better record than the team I have to travel to play. I think you could make an argument and say that's unfair.
I mean, unless you're going to do away with the divisions, I think you should get something for winning your division.
I don't like change.
You know, I think a lot of times in this competition committee, especially last 10 years, they seem to address anything and everything that somebody wants to propose.
Right.
You know,
what's wrong with that, though?
Well, I don't know.
I think there should be a waiting limit.
I mean,
like an issue comes up.
Right.
You propose it, and we'll see if it keeps coming up for 3 years, and then we'll address it.
Right, exactly.
Unless it's, like, an egregious issue of
safety
or whatever.
Something like with the video on the crossbar, to me, is something that can be immediate.
Right.
You know, videos on field goals. But I agree with you guys. I think that would be a good thing because it does seem like the overtime coin toss all of a sudden got a big head of steam like 3 or 4 years
ago. And then it goes away.
And all of a sudden they have to start talking about it. Should we change this chain? If something comes up, agree, we're going to keep it on the table for 3 years. And we're going to study it for these 3 years.
We're going to keep an eye on it.
We'll have an in-depth study. We'll review it. We'll have the competition committee have all the data. And in 3 years, we'll see how much of a problem it is. And then we'll decide whether or not we want to change it.
Speaking of the competition committee, I love Palayan's quote. They asked him about the NFL Network. He says, I don't get it. And they go, you mean you don't understand it or you don't receive it? He goes, no, I have Comcast. I don't get it.
That's kind of funny.
What do you think about the helmet communication device, two of them for the defensive players on each team?
Sure. I got no problem with it. Why not?
It is a little tougher to manage, though, than on offense, obviously.
Right, but
it just seems like, okay, if you're going to do that, what's to stop giving every offensive player and every defensive player the thing in their helmet? That way there's no need for a huddle anymore.
I kind of wonder why they don't just do something like that.
You know?
I guess it's money.
Oh, that could be. But Bill's
can't be cheap
to buy a little.
Bill's reservations.
You probably have
that.
To have one. You know, you have one per player. Then you'd probably have to have 10 extras at least. So you got
plus,
63 helmets with communication.
Now you got 63 chances for something, or 53 chances for something to fail during
right.
the game.
Oof, imagine what it'd be like in Foxborough.
You know, and if one guy
right, like
failed,
what if the if, right if
you
the
know,
left tackle goes out, then does everybody have to lose theirs or
right? So
I do understand Bill's reservations about it on defense, and I guess the Patriots, according to Mike Reese, anyway, the Patriots are going to vote in favor
right.
of it.
Yeah.
But Bill's reservations, I think, make sense because, you know, he used Urlacher as an example. He's a rare breed. He's a three-down middle linebacker who runs the show defensively for his team. He's always on the field. How many guys are like that? So now you got to find a way.
You only need a couple.
And let me ask you this, too.
Rodney Harrison is on the field for most plays unless he's hurt. So.
Part of that story today that Mike wrote, I don't know if I missed something, but he said that
Got all the papers with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I have it, too. He said something like if something happens to that player who has it,
they switch helmets.
I can't find it.
But I don't see how they can do that.
The difference in this year's proposal is that a backup helmet could be utilized if the first player with the device is knocked out of the game.
Why wouldn't it?
exactly.
Now, I was under the impression
backup
that
quarterback wears his own helmet, not the starters.
I was under the impression that if the guy doesn't have to be knocked out of the game. If he's out of the game, there's another guy with a helmet could be on the field with it.
Right.
Am I wrong on that?
That's what I thought it was.
I think it's pretty cut and dry. You have one guy on the field with a communication helmet.
Right.
I don't care who he is.
Whoever it is. That's what
you can have none if you want. Like, if you don't want your guy in right now, you just use signals for one play. Yeah. But you're only allowed to have one.
No more than one green dot
on the field at a time.
But
here's the thing.
Two people can have them.
Right.
Right.
Now, here's the thing, though. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you said Rodney Harrison.
Right.
So what if he's the guy who has it, and now you bring in a nickel guy who also has it?
Well, anybody
that
you
guys on the field with it, but only one's operable?
Well, no. See, here's
what you have to have a different helmet.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to have two helmets.
Right.
That's where it gets a little complicated.
Yeah.
That's why, because I think the way this is written, it's saying, you know, like, let's say Teddy Bruschi's the guy who has it for the Patriots, and he's off the field on second down. Does that mean they have to go without one, or he has to get injured and leave the game, and now you can replace him with a helmet? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's just one
green dot on the field, but the issue is your replacement might be on the field both times. That's the issue you're coming up with, Paul. Harrison's the backup to Bruschi.
Right.
Bruschi comes off. Now, do we run a helmet out for Rodney Harrison because he can't have his double green dot helmet? I mean,
right.
That's exactly what I'm asking.
There's no unfair advantage, you know, for a team to have two guys out on the field at the same time with it in their helmet. It's just that they have to have a minimum rule where you have to have the ability to have one so that in case there's a communication breakdown,
right. Okay,
we have to stop and establish that minimum again. But,
it's,
I mean, if you have three guys out there, there's no advantage to the defense to have three guys.
Right. That's what I would say. Why don't you just make it, you know, three or five or
whatever. But don't make it a requirement.
No. You can have as many as three out there at the same time.
Right, right.
Or whatever.
In offense, you can do the same thing if you want. Give the center
that
one.
That kind
if you
of eliminates.
Have to balance it out so that each is the same.
Yeah. I think that would be a better way to go about
it. But, you know, it's the more you do, you think you're creating a new balance.
And you create more problems.
That's
Bill's point.
Yeah.
That's why I think that he has some legitimate concerns about it, although, like I said, it looks like they're going to vote for it.
It's funny, he can't tape anymore. Now he's on board to use communication. We don't need defensive signals anymore.
An irony that was not lost on me, young Andy.
Now, it is 104, and usually we take a break at 104, but Gary had to go to a big marketing meeting. It's like a big summit meeting. They've got food, and they're talking about all the marketing initiatives that are going to happen over 2008.
What does that mean?
I don't know, because we never hear about them.
Right.
We work here, right?
Right.
What were the initiatives last year?
No idea.
I think
there wasn't one.
I was talking to somebody in marketing about this last year, and the way they explained it to me was they go over, it's basically a departmental meeting where they go over, it's like a review, and they say, here's what your objectives are for this year. But it's sort of an open forum, so everybody gets, you get to have to get up and say, here's what I'm planning on doing this year.
Oh.
And then... it's a little weird.
It's like that school in Illinois that closed down recently, Antioch. You go there and you make your own classes and give yourself your own grades.
Didn't hear about that. Didn't hear about that.
I'd be fine.
What if I say, here's what I want to do this year? Nothing.
I guess you'd be fired.
Yeah. You're tasked with, at least the way this person described it to me last year, you're tasked with coming up with three or four or five items that are your personal goals.
But you don't do that during your review?
Eric, how'd that work out for you? Didn't you do that last year?
Yeah, but you have to do this in front of the entire department, apparently.
Wow.
At least if this is the same meeting that I'm thinking of, and it sounds like if it's going on from 1 to 5 all day long.
Fred's school there in Illinois, that was basically Accepted, that movie that I always tell you about.
I saw some of that the other night.
Antioch?
No, it's a movie called Accepted, where the kid starts his own college.
Kid didn't get into any colleges, and he made up one.
Oh, okay.
But it was a joke, and then all of a sudden
they had
a website.
Out of control.
And then people went to the website, and
acceptance
like,
is one
thousands
click away.
Of people sent $10,000 or $15,000 checks to actually join the school. So they did this pile of money, so
he started a school.
And it was an old insane asylum that they used as the school, and it was kind of funny. I watched a little bit of it.
Is it a new movie?
Over the last year or two.
Okay.
It's one of those like stupid, funny, a lot of young kids in it, and drugs and kind of stuff. It's not
American Pie type.
Okay,
farts.
So let's do a little marketing exercise right now. If you were the marketing director for the New England Patriots and you had to figure out, okay, what's our direction for 2008? What's like going to be our slogan or theme for 2008? What would it be?
19-0.
No joke. This time we won't joke.
he comes up with one right off the top of his head, though. How does he do it?
But you can't do that. So, Think about it. Maybe our emailers can email us.
You're looking for like a marketing slogan?
What's our slogan or theme for this year? You know? So.
That's, well.
All right. Think
we're
about
still
it.
Good.
Think about it.
Forget that game.
18-1, that ain't bad.
Forget the last time you saw us. Remember the other.
How about 18-1, but this year, a different one?
You said a slogan, not a paragraph.
Eric just got hit in the head with his own microphone. That was funny.
I missed that.
Let's see. Last news, week, we were talking about how to improve PFW business-wise, and Robert from Atherstone, UK says, how can I subscribe to the newspaper, Fred? You're an idiot. How can I subscribe if I live in the UK? Listen, Fred, the only way to get anyone to read a newspaper that would probably be 6 weeks old by the time I got it would be if you charge us to read downloadable versions of the newspaper so we people across the pond could get the paper straight away.
That's what I said.
You can. It's called pfwonline.com.
Right. If you subscribe to the paper, there's an online version that only subscribers can access.
So
like
there.
I like a PDF version that would be emailed to me the day it comes out.
John in Fayetteville, Georgia says...
That's what Fred said in my review, and I haven't heard anything since.
What's that?
What's that now?
I think you wrote it on a napkin.
What?
He was talking about having PDFs of PDF versions of the paper emailed
to
you.
Email
to
people that
the only problem with that,
country.
Those would be huge, huge documents. I looked into it.
Zip them.
It's still you. Zip only works, you know, when you're doing straight text to get a lot of compression. You know, when you're doing graphics, Zip does it only gets it a little bit smaller, not a lot. So,
well. It is available online, though.
Yes, pfwonline.com.
Our friends in England.
There's another issue with that, too.
What's that?
I'll save that for off the air.
Oh, okay. Boy.
John.
Actually, why not? Let's do it on the air. When you renew,
yes,
you have to change your whole profile again because you have a new login number.
Really?
That's a flaw.
I didn't know that.
That's a flaw. Because you have
that
to
is a flaw.
Some little number from like your label on the mailing.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to use.
Okay.
But
why
you're issued
change?
A new one when you renew. So therefore,
is it
your
on the
old
label?
One is locked, and you got to start over and re-log in.
Is it on the label?
Stupid.
Is it on the label?
I use ARHeart78 for everything I use, and if I renew, it maintains it.
I remember when I go
into
your
bank account.
It's my login name, not my password.
Let's see.
Easier.
That's Deirdre, right?
John in Fayetteville, Georgia. Every time you get an order from Papa Gino's, it makes my mouth water. I used to hang out at Papa G's in Metha Square. It's been a few years since I've been up there. I think you guys need to set aside one day that you get to buy lunch for your out-of-town fans. You could FedEx a large plain pizza to a lucky fan, probably April Fool's Day if I know you. Anyway, there are absolutely no good
you didn't get it?
There are no good pizza places down here in Atlanta, and it would be great to taste a Papa Gino's pizza again. Never mind, you guys are too cheap.
That's true. Papa Gino's is the best pizza this guy's ever had.
Yeah,
you
got to
get out of there.
There's got to be a local place in Atlanta that has better pizza.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe in down south. I don't know. Maybe they don't have as good a pizza in like the little
everywhere.
Neighborhood things.
Well, but it's not like the neighborhood things like we were talking about before the show.
Not like Providence. I mean,
no. I mean,
this is true.
Listen, you haven't eaten.
I can't argue with that.
Is Providence pizza better than Santarpio's?
I've never been to Santarpio's, so I can't make a judgment on that.
He says it like an Italian.
Well, I kind of am, Fred.
He actually just says it like a pseudo-intellect.
Nothing pseudo about it, my friend.
Or like what they call a cigarette in Britain.
All right.
What do they call a fag?
Yeah.
I just lob him up there, and Fred does the rest.
He pleads ignorance, doesn't he? He does it very well.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just guessed.
Jeez.
Let's see. Ryan has another idea for us to make money. He says you should sell binders from prior years, maybe $100 per year.
We do.
We do that, but they're $200. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, well, it depends on the year. I mean, you can get, like, the complete Super Bowl year. I don't know if it's 100, 200, but it's like $150.
Super Bowl years
in a binder.
More expensive, obviously, than non-Super Bowl years.
And, by the way, you can
call now, and it's $129.95.
You can buy the binders alone, too, and
make
your
own. Yourself.
Yes, right. Exactly.
And then when they lose the last game of the historic season, you burn the whole damn
Carol
thing.
H with two R's at Patriot. Carol H at Patriots.com. Just order your binders.
With two R's, or no?
C-A-R-R-O-L-H.
I just found that out recently, that she spells her name that way. I didn't know that. I've been working here for 2 years.
You're critical? You got a K at the end of your name, and you're critical?
I'm not critical. I'm just saying it's terrible. Surprised me. I didn't know that.
And he also has another idea. Make the audio podcast for free, but the video podcast $20 a year. No, that's a bad idea.
No, we're not going to charge anybody for the video. Fred doesn't even want to do it for free.
I just like to point out, a guy is emailing in that he'd be willing to pay $20 a year. Right. You're saying, nah, we don't want your money.
Not enough people would do it.
But let's just take the one guy's 20 bucks.
I was going to say, I think if we could get five guys, that's, you know,
that's lunch for
a couple of lunches.
You already paid for the damn cameras. They're right there.
Let's see.
What was the good news you had to tell me, Andy, a few minutes ago?
Oh, I'm going to know what you feel like on a date night next Tuesday.
Oh, for God's sakes, that is ridiculous.
What the hell are you talking about?
What does a typical Friday night feel
like
for you?
Just stop. Everybody out there knows exactly what you're talking about. Stop now before you get in trouble.
Oh, I know what you're doing. Never mind. I know what you're doing.
My colonoscopy.
Yes.
All
right.
You know.
All right. James says...
God bless you, Andy.
God bless you.
James says that in England they have full-time soccer refs. The top refs ref around 50 games a season, including cup games, and they're just as bad as they have ever been. I like the idea of having the same rules for college and the NFL, but sounds oddly like what I said last week to you guys. Damn Fred and his plagiarizing ways. I like the idea because if a ref team has a bad year, they can be demoted back to college, and a new team of refs can take their place from college.
What did he say last week? I don't remember.
He's saying Fred didn't read it. He just read it himself, and then this week comes on and goes, I got an idea. You know, he's stealing
his
material.
Fred,
that's very like Fred.
I don't think I did that, but...
My predecessor had a lot of that in him.
I actually thought of you this morning, Fred, when I was waiting. I went to the doctor's to get blood taken. And there was an old couple sitting next to me, and the man turns to the wife and goes, did I have breakfast? And the way you're going, I feel like you're going to be at that stage.
That's me every day.
Yeah, can you send that email when you get back to about our free lunch?
What email? From Gannett.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure.
Our tremendous publisher or whatever printer.
It's at the end of the month.
Printer.
Matt from Quincy says, Andy is a classic pot stirrer, except he uses the S word. Everyone knows this guy. He goes to one person and says, hey, you should hear what that guy said about you. Then he runs back to the other guy and says, well, guess what he just said about you. Then when the two guys are so pissed they decide to meet at the flagpole at 3 o'clock, the first person they see when they get there is Andy with a blank-eating grin on his face yelling, kick his ass! That's
Seabass.
Andy. Was that the same S-word?
That is Andy.
That's right.
Pot? I didn't get the first
blank one. Blank stirrer.
S-H-I-T.
You
said
sugar,
it.
Honey, iced tea?
I was putting the... forget it.
The S on
that.
Yeah, I know what you were doing. Oh, the chamois.
Wow, a lot of people talking about Andy today. Alejandro from Bogota says Andy Hart is crafty. He is setting us all up.
First,
some shows he confused Star Wars with Indiana Jones. Second, last week he confessed he can't tell between a fart and a dump. Don't you realize what's going on? When you finally catch him with Lori, he will say, I was sure that was my wife. Now to the serious business. Fred, or should I say Mr. Company Man, most of your listeners are from the U.S. Can't we have web subscription to access the online content of PFW? It's a fine deal. I mean, you are already paying those cheap bastards to write the stuff, so why not make more money? We listeners can't buy the paper anyway. I know that douche webmaster knows there's a way to tell if a PC is outside the U.S. So.
And Fred just said it was too big a file.
No, we'll look into it. Maybe, you know, there's a...
I thought you already had.
You know, what we're talking about is here, if you pay the full subscription, you have access online, period.
Right.
The problem is, I don't want to pay for the full subscription if I'm only getting it online. So could we offer a reduced price for just online access? And I have people looking in to whether or not we can detect if it comes from outside the U.S. Maybe we can do that.
Through the IP address.
Right, or something like that. You know, I'm sure there's ways to get around it, but if people want to, you know, work that hard to get around it, okay, we'll take your $24.95 or whatever it is that, you know, we charge for that. So we're looking into that.
Can we not have an end in 9.5 or 9.9?
Why?
Just to be different. Everybody does
9.9. I just thought that was the rule.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's be different and make it $25 even.
Yeah, I've never liked
71.
Those things where they're
like
1 penny or 5 cents below the...
Screw
just
the penny.
Come on. You're not fooling anybody.
The U.S. government has discussed getting rid of the penny. Can we get rid of the penny and the nickel on the price or whatever?
Yeah, I mean,
let's just make it a flat even number. There's no tax involved, right? So it's just whatever the subscription is $25.
It's worse when they pitch it as for less than or for under $20, what? A penny.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Are people really that stupid?
Yes.
They're going to say, well, I'll buy it now.
Works on Andy.
No, it doesn't.
He's big. Anything advertising, Andy's.
Yes, but I don't Andy's fall for that. I'm smart enough to know that it's 5 cents less than 20.
Yeah. And Andy goes around and says, I got it for less than $20.
Do you do that?
Yeah. You think I'm the only one it works on, so they did a whole like marketing campaign based on me? Oh. I want the ShamWow. I'm telling you, I want it, but.
Now at least he's admitting that it works on him.
A couple slogans.
What works is the guy picking up a whole Coke and just squeezing it out, and as more soda comes out,
I don't know why you get passionate about these things.
Very passionate about these things.
The ShamWow to me is tremendous. I can't believe Fred hasn't bought it yet.
He's going to fight you over the ShamWow.
A couple years ago, they had one of those home shows here, and somebody had a booth set up, and they were...
ShamWow?
Well, it was that type of... It was, I don't know if it was called ShamWell, but...
Wow.
It was the
wow.
same thing, and he was doing the whole demonstration. Very.
Maybe this is a ripoff of the ShamWell.
It was very convincing.
So why didn't you buy it?
Paper towel does
enough?
The same thing.
And you on a ladder does the same thing as a robot, bought that.
You got to clean it. Yeah. A couple slogans have come in. Wingman says, OH slogan should be, yes, we are still better than you.
Except for the Giants.
I don't think that one will
Wingman,
go.
Is that strippers Wingman?
Yes, I think so. And
strippers and Wingman.
Matt from Quincy says like it should be a better fate in 08. He says that flows a little better than we promised to teach Ellis Hobbs to jam a receiver at the line this time.
Better fate in 08?
Yeah, we can't do that. I don't think you want to refer back to 07 with your slogan.
That
I think you
want
to go
forward.
Eliminates
everything we've already come up with then.
I think you want to go forward. Right?
Looking forward in 08?
Sure. Right.
All right.
Just kidding.
Gary's out. Boy, it's 119, we're supposed to do a break at 119.
119's break time. It's definitely break time.
Time for Wapner.
What's this? Robert sends us something about a Final Four that they're doing on NFL
Basketball.
Network. They, Marshall Faulk and Solomon Wolcott, have the Pats losing to the Jaguars in the Final Four. Has anybody seen this?
I haven't seen it.
No?
I try not to watch Marshall Faulk.
Wow.
Come on, let's be honest. He's not that good.
He's just a guy trying to do a job.
Sure.
Why do you
gotta
personally hate him?
I don't personally hate him. I just don't like him on TV.
Professionally hate him?
No, I don't hate him. I just don't care for him as a TV
You hate
announcer.
Anyone?
Yes.
Oh, hate's a strong word.
Yes.
I agree with Eric.
He's sitting in this room.
I don't think he has any. I don't think he has anything really to add. I don't really like watching him. I agree with you.
Thank you.
So you avoid him?
Well, I avoid the NFL Network in general.
I watched a little bit this weekend. That's where I found out that Darren McFadden was coming here for a visit when he said, I'm coming to the Patriots for a visit.
That's true.
Did you see that?
No.
First team on his list. When they asked him, Charlie Casserly was the guy who asked him. And the first team on, he said the Patriots, and then he said, and also the Jets and the Raiders.
Oh, that's interesting.
First team on the tip of his tongue.
Yeah.
Your New England Patriots. Are you ready for him, Fred? You know what I do like about him? His neck. He's got that no neck.
The fact that he has none, like
yeah.
you?
And it's a little crooked, too. His head is always a little tilted. Now, if I thought he could run, I'd be interested. But I've watched enough DB and linebacker tape from everybody that played him, tackling him for 2 yard losses in the backfield to see that the guy stinks.
You'd know about DBs.
Let's see. Sam writes in, first off, I got to admit,
that?
I'm not a Patriots fan. In fact, because I usually root for the underdog and the Pats are always a favorite, I'm probably rooting against them. I live in New York. So despite not being a big Giants fan, I still rooted for them in the Super Bowl. But every offseason, when I start going into football withdrawal, I always end up listening to you guys because you have the most material, the best information, and great analysis on the draft and free agency. And even if you didn't know anything, it's still pretty entertaining just to listen to you guys bicker.
Yeah, and you never know when one of us is going to swear on the air.
Yeah.
And besides, I'm fairly certain the Giants will not repeat their championship run, not when Eli Manning tosses another 20 interceptions on the season. He's well on his way to following in the footsteps of his NFL predecessor, Sexy Rexy Grossman. Anyway,
except
my question is
Super
about
Bowl
the quarterback
thing.
Position.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not a need, not when you've got the best quarterback of your generation on your roster. But the injury bug hit hard last season, and QBs were dropping like flies. Brady's been incredibly resilient, but there have been a few scares over the years. If the worst should happen, is Cassell or Gutierrez capable of stepping in and being the guy? And if not,
Howard,
the point guard for the Celtics is playing backup quarterback now?
And if not,
yeah, Sam Cassell?
Should the Pats be looking for the guy? Should they be looking for the guy? Would they look for a veteran free agent or a late-round prospect who they can develop behind Brady for a few seasons? What is the Pats' philosophy when it comes to quarterbacks?
Well, they've done both.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do both this year.
I'd like to see them do both. Now, maybe Gutierrez is the latter, the young developmental guy, but I'm a big proponent of having a veteran backup quarterback. You know, I wanted Vinny Testaverde last year at the expense of Matt Cassel. I'd like to have, you know, Paul, I know we were talking earlier, Trent Dilfer is a name Patriots fans.
You'd like to have him?
Yep.
See, not me.
I would take him over these two guys.
I'd rather have a young guy that I don't know about than an old guy that I know about that can't do it.
I wouldn't. I'd rather have a game manager, a guy, Vinny Testaverde. I'll take what he did for the Panthers when he played a little bit for the time I need him to play.
Yeah,
instead of Matt Cassel throwing picks.
I understand. I understand your point, and I don't necessarily disagree with it.
Plus, as you know, I should also say, I'm just a little down on Matt Cassel. Not personally. I
know that
a lot, but I don't think he's...
The thing that's funny here, and there was a couple of AskPFWs, I haven't posted that yet for the mailbag today, but this topic is kind of, you know, generated a little bit of discussion. And first of all, would we all be in agreement that Brady is probably not going anywhere minimum 5 years? He's your quarterback, right?
I would, yeah.
So that would tell me that there's no chance whatsoever, in my mind, that the future quarterback of the Patriots is currently on the roster.
Oh, God, no.
Because
probably
unless,
not even if you draft the guy now.
Unless, God forbid, something were to happen.
No, I'm saying, did you hear part A of that scenario?
Not the worst, as the emailer put it, by the way, because worst case scenario would be, we know what the worst is.
Yeah, but I mean, my point being that they don't have. He's going to be the quarterback for the next 5 years. That tells me that says that he's not going to get injured, and that means, you know, Castle's a free agent at the end of this year. He's probably gone, no matter what he does this year.
Yeah, probably.
Even if he gets a chance to play and proves that he can't play, someone will take.
There are 31 other teams that you might want to take a chance, either as a starter or a backup. I'd agree. I think he's probably
so. Even if you, and I think Andy's point is probably accurate as well. Even if you draft somebody in like the fifth round this year and he proves to be a terrific prospect,
then he's
probably
too.
Not going to be waiting around for 5 years for Brady to start winding it down. He'll probably be gone by the time Brady's ready to move on.
Unless he's taken low enough, you know, like Cassel was, what, seventh round, right?
Right.
Cassel. And he's willing to do that. Oh, hey, okay. You know, I'm on an established team. Maybe by 3 or 4 years from now.
Yeah, but if he's... far enough along in 3 or 4 years that the Patriots are feeling good about him means he's done something in preseason.
Right.
There's some other people that are feeling good about him, and he's probably not here.
Well, but maybe they make the effort to keep him, unlike they. Well, I'm not saying they aren't going to do it with Cassel, but if, you know, maybe they make an effort to try to keep him for longer than that.
Yeah, it's
I
an
think that's hard to do.
It's
though,
an interesting thing, though, but I think that what the Patriots' philosophy, and I don't know this for sure, but I think that right now that they're looking to generate as much chips as they can, you know, some, you know, by drafting guys and hopefully developing them to a point, you make them marketable and you can get something for them. I don't think they're necessarily looking to draft a guy
to be the next
Tom Brady. Yeah, no, they've tried it and it hasn't really worked. They didn't get anything for Rohan Davey. They didn't
Kingsbury.
Get anything for Cliff Kingsbury.
Right.
They haven't gotten anything thus far for Matt Cassel
and won't
or Matt Gutierrez. I think Gutierrez, and we talked about this upstairs, Andy, before the show. We think that Gutierrez, and Andy was on Gutierrez very quickly. I'll give him the credit for that.
I was on Cassel for a while too.
Oh, I
jumped ship,
and I've stayed with Cassel.
You know how Bill talks about that thing every year with the growth, where he likes to put his hand. It's going up, then it's flat, and it's up. Well, at some point
along the way,
Castle's just flattened, and maybe even come down a little bit.
Yeah, and I stuck with Cassel. But I think at this point,
last year, veteran minicamp, where I was like, "Oh, mini-camp. He looks good."
That was last
minicamp.
Yeah, last minicamp.
We loved him.
You said, you know what?
He looked great.
Then he came back to camp and he sucked.
He was not anywhere near as effective at regular camp as he was at minicamp. You're right.
Yeah, I remember.
Ever since then, I've jumped ship.
You said if you didn't know who Tom Brady was or any of these players were,
right? He looked great.
You would pick out the quarterback who's the NFL star. You'd say it's Cassel.
Since then,
we think that Gutierrez will put a real push for that number two job this year, right now.
Right.
Now, whether or not...
I also said I think a monkey would put a push on Cassel because I'm really down on Cassel.
Well, he...
Really?
I think he should have been cut last year.
I don't think he should have been cut.
Yeah,
I just...
Wow. Andy's just tough. Anyone on the Patriots that's any good besides Brady?
There's a lot of people I love.
Okay.
Who?
I'm just saying.
Who?
You got to be. I'm like Bill Belichick. When the tough decision comes, when the time comes, you got to make
it. I don't ever hear you saying, oh, this guy's good, though.
Would you? Ooh, I rave about all people. Mike Vrabel, I had as the most underrated player in the league for 2 years.
All right.
Would he you suck have, one of those years? But
saying now he's overrated.
Would you have liked to have been the Turk on an NFL team?
Oh God, no! I wouldn't really want to do it. No. Ask this guy. I got no stones.
No, I wouldn't want to do it either. I actually talked
I can
to
talk
someone.
A good game
you
on
can't
the radio.
Even talk to a host at a restaurant.
I talked to somebody
you
this week.
Have somebody else do that.
I don't
for
like
you.
To.
Remember Ken Sternfeld?
Yeah.
He was a scout here in New England. He worked for the Patriots.
He also
for over,
worked at the ticket office before.
Yes,
that.
He I was going to say he worked for the Patriots for over 20 years. He started off as an intern. He went to the ticket office, made his way to scouting, and he was the Turk for the Patriots for a while. He works for the Giants now.
Wow.
But he
actually you don't.
He talked
it's
about
not
that.
You doing it?
No, all you do is you tap the guy on the shoulder and say the coach wants to see you. That's your job.
But you basically. Are the bearer of bad news. Yes.
Right. You're the Grim Reaper.
Right.
For their career, at least at that point. You know?
I'm just calling him to say coach wants to see you. Maybe he's got $1 million check on the table ready for you to sign.
Bring your playbook. that's the keeper. Right
but
there.
The quarterback thing I think is interesting because
you're the
Turk I don't
on April Fool's Day.
I don't know how much the Patriots can legitimately be looking toward the quarterback of the future right now because I think that's a hard sell. And I also think let's face the odds here. Just the flat out odds. What are the odds that you're drafting a guy from the fifth round on again to become the guy of the future?
Kevin O'Connell.
That's you know
the
what
name
I'm saying?
I'm throwing out there.
I mean, Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick, and he became the guy of the future. I think those. I mean, you might say that it's not worth it to take a guy at the top of the first round because they don't all pan out. I think if you looked at the starting quarterbacks in the league, there's more guys that were drafted higher than you know. And Belichick says that all the time. If you want the best players, you got to draft them the higher in the draft. That's where you find them. You know, the chances of you getting another Brady or a Tony Romo is a you know an undrafted free agent. I think that's very very slim.
Interesting email from a guy named Anthony Stewart, who says he has a vested interest in a friend of his from Maine named Matt Mulligan. He's a tight end. He said the Patriots actually looked at him. 34 reps of 225, which is 7 more than any other tight end. 35-inch vertical
less
leap.
Than Andy does.
9.8 broad jump. Can't remember the shuttle time. He didn't run in the 40 as well as he had hoped, but he clocked in at 4.9. A couple days ago, he closed grip benched 225 for 27 reps. The Colts are having him max his 225 again next week. He's 6'5", 265 pounds. He's probably going to go up 10 to 15 pounds from the advice of the scouts. He's a big, strong tight end. His strength is definitely blocking.
Yep.
He's sort of a Kyle Brady-type player.
Yes.
Who's he play for?
Maine. You guys looked at him?
Yes, I've read a little bit. I mean, I haven't watched him. I haven't seen him play. But I've read a little bit about him, read some quotes from scouts talking about him, that he is a pure inline blocker. He's, you know, a Bill Belichick third tackle type. I would say there's a chance he's coming here. I mean, he's certainly not going to get drafted very high, if at all. Yeah. I didn't get the feeling he's going to get drafted. So, you know, the local ties tend to play themselves out a lot in training camp. The Patriots, as we've talked about, will be looking for a pure, probably blocking type tight end. So I don't think it would be outside in the realm of possibility to see him in here. Now, that's one of those things where he's very weight room impressive in terms of the lifting, but he was a blocking tight end at the University of Maine. Now he's going to be asked to be a blocking tight end against elite athletes, guys that might be bigger and faster than the defensive end he had to block.
Well, was he dominant at Maine? Because he'd have to be.
He was dominant enough so that scouts are interested in him as basically a blocking tight end.
Right.
So that, and I don't have any idea, but that tells me, yes, he was pretty dominant in his play. But there's a step there, so let's not pretend he's just going to all of a sudden come in and be Kyle Brady.
Well, I don't think he said, just that he's a friend of his and he wants to
I
know
think
what you think.
Just based on the geographical
and he
connection,
does say in the email, by the way, that he doesn't think he'll be drafted. He'll probably be signed as a free agent.
Just based on the geographical connection and the fact that the Patriots would be in the market for a blocking tight end, I think there's a better than decent chance you could see him in Patriots training camp, or at least rookie camp when they have all the rookies here, even a tryout. They bring guys in on tryouts because they're in the market for a body like that.
Yep. Let's see. Jan writes in, I'm a first-time emailer and have some questions about the top five prospects in the draft section of Patriots.com. First of all, I saw Dan Connor at number one in the middle linebacker spot. Didn't I just hear Tom Casale saying that he can't play? I also saw Limus Swede and Vernon Golston as number two, while you guys have been raving about them as the number one. But last but not least, Brian Brome is number two. When I listened to the first draft prospect review, I would quote Andy Hart saying, quote, I came away more impressed watching Brian Brome than Ryan. Thanks, and I love listening to the show.
Yes, that's accurate.
So why is he number two and not number one?
Because we also take into account that a lot of very intelligent football people put Matt Ryan number one.
Right. It's an amalgam of our thoughts and the thoughts that we've right. been able to glean from other sources and just, you know, the homework we've done. And
another one. Got to swallow the dictionary again.
I like Brom, and I think there's a
information
decent
we've been able to glean.
He'll be the best quarterback taken in this draft.
Who, Brom?
Yes.
So you should, then you should have the strength of your conviction to put him at number
but
one.
But it's a we.
But part
it's
of it also.
Right,
it's a collective.
Isn't part of it also
grade.
You're trying to determine right. which guy will be the first one taken?
Oh, no. No. Well, is it? Or is
at
it what you think? How good they are?
I don't know.
I mean, which is it?
I don't know that we've
ever
had
put
a Phillip.
Down. Andy's like lifting his pants up. Stop it. His white farmer legs.
It's better than him taking them down.
White farmer legs. I would say chicken legs. Farm boy legs, wouldn't they be like big beefy Nebraska boy?
No, you know, farmers, they have that farmer tan. It's like goes from the sock.
Another thing about that list, too, was that was compiled right around combine time. So there's been a lot, you know, we've been able to watch film since then. We're doing updates. Tom's going to be posting updates at least once a week on the major positions.
And more importantly,
and adding
next week we're going to have our chart. That'll have our top five with comments on all the guys.
Right.
And you'll be able to see next to Andy when he says, I think he could be the best in the draft.
But when I'm, as a user, when I'm reading this, I want to know who PFW thinks is the best quarterback.
Well,
not
we're getting that.
Who's going to be taken. Like, if you think Mendenhall's better than McFadden,
yes.
I want to see him as number one.
Well, he is. You see that. We've already done that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so, that's the thing. We're getting to that stage now. That first list that she's referring to, we did that several weeks ago. And that was at the start of our process. And at the time, that's...
So is there a chance that Brome could leapfrog Ryan? No?
Well...
It's a tough one. I think they're pretty close. I really do. That's why I wouldn't do it.
I like Brome.
I like him. I think he's probably going to be better in my mind. But, again, they're so close. And enough football people tell me that Ryan's far and away the best pro prospect. I got to go with a lot of football people there. But just on my watching things... I like Brome. I think he's the most pro-ready. I think he makes a million reads, which is what you have to do in the NFL.
Yeah, Ryan tends
I think he's got the arm. I think there was a little bit of a drop-off in talent around him.
Sure.
I think there's a lot of reasons why he maybe slipped a little. So I like him. I think he's going to be good.
Mish from Montreal, I was taking a look at the draft prospect videos you guys posted for the cornerbacks the Patriots may draft at 7. I started with McKelvin only to find 3 minutes of kick returns. It's been stated that he's a tremendous threat in that regard, and he certainly is fast, but his tape shows nothing of his ability to play corner. He's currently on top of quite a few lists at corner, so could you guys just confirm for me whether he's an aggressive, risk-taking corner? Because I don't want a guy that's a great returner but a pretty safe corner. If I had to choose a player based on those tapes, I think Kaysen would actually be the more impressive. He seems willing to anticipate the jump routes. My only concern would be his ability to stay with the top receiver downfield. So let's say if your choice was narrowed down to either McKelvin or Kaysen, which would it be? And don't be shy, Eric. You
Kaysen.
Can say which guy you prefer, but just make it based on their play.
Kaysen.
Everybody says Kaysen.
Yes. Yeah, and I, you know, we've talked about this for a long time. Tom, you know, as far back ago as a year, I mean, has been on Antoine Kaysen's bandwagon, and there's nothing that we've seen to say since to say that Tom was wrong in his evaluation. I think he's the best cornerback in the draft. I really do. He's not going to be the first one taken, more than likely, but I think he might be the best one in this draft.
Yeah, all the other guys that are top, I either hate, like a Talib, who I think stinks, or I'm scared of, like the two small school guys, DRC and McKelvin.
Yeah.
McKelvin, I really have fears about because I think he came on out of nowhere. I think he's getting a boost because of his return abilities.
Sure.
Too high for a guy like that.
Oh,
it's too high.
He is the, what's the phrase I'm looking for?
How the hell would
I'm
I
sure
know,
you'd
genius
have it,
boy?
I can't
spit it out. Use a simpler one with smaller words.
Quintessential?
he's
optimal?
Every mock draft that you look at now. He's the name that's attached to the Patriots pick at number 7, and I just don't see. He's the flavor of the month. That's the one I couldn't think of. He's the flavor of the month.
It took you 10 minutes to come up with flavor of the month.
Not only are you not super intelligent, you're just flat out dumb sometimes.
None of that is true.
But speaking of the videos, Eric, you're in charge of putting the videos up on the site.
Yep.
How's that going?
We were about halfway through as of last Friday when I first started.
Wow.
So we've made a lot of progress.
And where can people
Tuesday
find
at 1, apparently he hasn't done crap since.
No, we're doing one a week from now until the draft.
One video?
No.
One position
a week. But I'm getting all the videos loaded in.
What's your favorite position?
In fact, not surprisingly, it has not taken Eric anywhere near as long as it took Chris to explain to us the process of putting them up.
Well, that's good. Where can people find these on the site?
Well, each week, probably around Fridays.
I just got that.
Relax over there.
No, he was the other thing he was talking about.
I know.
No, Chris, he just goes, Chris. That made me laugh.
On Fridays, Tom is going to post our positional updates on these prospects. And embedded in that is going to be, like, next to the top five prospects will be links to the video.
So Friday.
Yeah.
It's a big day Friday for the site.
Yeah.
A lot of draft stuff. I venture to say that no other NFL team site has as much draft info as we have.
I agree.
I doubt that.
Certainly not homegrown.
Right.
Some of them may link to other stuff and use a lot of NFL.com.
That's a good point.
Ours is our opinions based on
our research.
No. Right. Why are you going to say that?
I'm only kidding.
And we go, but, you know, these guys went out to the combine. Well, Tom has gone with
Indy
in the past.
When you put Brian Brohm as number one, I'll believe you.
I'm
not sure that Brohm. I mean, I personally think that Brohm is pretty good. I don't think he's better than Ryan. I don't think he's a better pro prospect than Ryan.
Wouldn't it be cool that?
But, I mean, isn't it part of some?
But don't you
somewhat
want,
of a consensus?
Don't you want the New England pro website to put Brohm ahead of the BC guy?
I'm all for that.
For spiteful reasons.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, sometimes I hate for no reason.
But
know that.
To back up your point, Fred, Andy and I were talking with one of the major journalists who covers this team recently. And he sort of paid us a compliment about our coverage of the draft
and
players raving about it and was, you know, sort of asking us, you know, how do you guys do it? How do you guys come up with all this stuff? And
we're just good.
You know, I mean, we put a lot of effort into it. It's not by accident.
Kieran in Ireland says, on Pat Kerwin's latest mock draft, he has the Patriots trading down a few spots and taking Brandon Albert from Virginia. This guy's an even bigger idiot than Tom. I know our offensive line isn't perfect, but I don't think we need to take a lineman in the first round. What do you think? And P.S., I'd like to finish my email by quoting the single funniest sentence I've ever heard on PFW. Quote, we're not the best-looking guys in the world, but we have tagged a lot of nice ass in our day. Tom is a legend. He's an idiot and a legend, apparently.
Both in his own mind.
Right.
I agree with Kieran's point about it being a little far-fetched for them to take a lineman at that spot and even to trade down for it. But if they are going to take a lineman, I wouldn't say Brendan Albert is the guy that they're going to take. I just watched the video of him and came away less than impressed.
I haven't watched the video yet.
I didn't see anything spectacular from him.
People raving about him. He's considered the best guard in the draft.
Really?
And some people believe he could be an NFL left tackle, that he could play the position. He sort of got buried behind DeBrickashaw, got entrenched, and there was some kind of issues with the team there that may have prevented the development into a left tackle. But there's a lot of people raving about him, and his stock is certainly on the rise.
Maybe it's just, you know, what we have to look at. But
now I just think we've read lately that the rumors about Stephen Neal were just that, rumors.
Yes, there was a health update about
that
him, too.
He had shoulder surgery that went well to fix the issue that he's had a number of times, and that apparently did not have knee surgery.
Right.
There were rumors out there circulating that there was an ACL issue potentially there. Apparently that is not accurate. I mean, people were worrying that, A, he wouldn't be ready for camp, B, maybe not for the season. So that would obviously put a little bit greater importance on the guard position in the draft and figuring out what you're going to do there, because I think we've seen Russ Hochstein is – great interior line backup, good guy to have, but not necessarily a guy you want to trot out there 16 weeks. So, you know, I think there'd be a need there, but, you know, we were surprised when they took a guard 32 with Logan Mankins. Mm-hmm. Now you're saying, what was the position, 16 or 13 or something they were trading?
I think it traded down to 10.
Or 10.
From 7 to 10 or something, and that's still pretty high. But
Pat Kerwin.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised. If they draft a lineman, I think the guy they'd draft might be Clady.
Yeah,
in that area.
I was impressed with him watching.
Because I think
his
he could be a franchise left tackle.
Yeah.
At worst, to start out as a right tackle.
You know, there was a guy whose tape I did like, who was he was listed and he played on the tape as a right tackle. I think right. It was O'Neal Collins out of UTEP, who his position was right tackle, and you know, there's some concern about that position here.
Well,
but he was huge. He was just the right size for a tackle, but they in UTEP system they had him doing a lot of pulling on receiver screens and running backs.
Well, you do that here too.
Yeah.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying that's a position where maybe he can play guard and tackle, well, and he's on the right
look,
side already.
I'll tell
that
you,
might
if
be more,
there was a guy know. That people said this guy's he will start on day one. He's better than what you've got. I would trade down and get him. I would not, you know, rule that out. For the Patriots to trade down, take an offensive lineman if he's that good, if he's going to start for this team
well,
this
but,
year.
I mean, that's basically a right tackle.
Yeah, right
well,
tackle.
You know, you got Brady back there. You got to have – why not give him the best line you can possibly give
No, but
give
my
him?
Point is you have an all-pro left tackle with – regardless of what we think of him, it's clear the team likes him. They
oh,
like
sure.
the job he does. Logan Mankins, by all accounts, is an all-pro guard
right.
and getting better. Stephen Neal – Even Bill
no, I,
has
and
said
I hear what you're saying.
If he's on the field, he's
Copen
as good
is,
as Logan Mankins.
Right. And
Copen's a very good center.
But you can also move Matt Light to right and put somebody at left.
Well, that's why I think Clady's you know? The guy.
Yeah.
He starts out at right, and then maybe in a year or two, you say, wow, this guy's very good. He's a left tackle.
If you go the offensive line route, I think that's it.
And I like
but
I
a
liked
guard,
what I saw.
Are you telling me that Brandon Albert is that much
better than
yeah. Stephen Neal and Logan Mankins, who
right.
you've raved about?
Well, maybe you know a little bit more about Stephen Neal's health.
Well,
you know,
hoping they know a little bit more than
the
I
thing
do.
I liked about
well, that they're letting out. You know, maybe this guy.
But I like that.
That's a concern. The
yeah.
shoulder that's been an issue for
absolutely
5 years. Now.
Years
I do like
concern.
The idea that Andy just brought up, though. In 08, you have a guy play right tackle. In 09, Matt Light moves to right. And
there's
the,
a lot of people that believe
Clady
is going to be better than Jake Long. That he's a better NFL left
that.
Tackle prospect
really?
Than Jake Long.
Okay. And the thing I liked about him watching the tape, he plays mean. He plays nasty. He's out there. Playing with an attitude.
Tough jumps you know, off the film.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what Rob Ryan told me.
Tough jumps
And
off.
Jake Long.
He's good with the little ones. That's the other one he has. Finding something in a field. Or
yeah,
something.
They can find Black Stallion in a... They could find Black Stallion and he doesn't need to be in a field of white mice or
something like that. I don't know.
I didn't know what it meant. But
he needs, he needs to stop coming up with those sayings and find a way to stop the other team.
Maybe cut his hair. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
What?
Say they make a guy cut his hair. They're going to let Rob Ryan run around looking like an idiot on the sideline?
Well, there you go.
Grizzly Adams?
He looks more ridiculous than any player.
I would agree with that.
So, and it says Raiders on the back of his coat. I bet you it covers it sometimes.
Brian from Honolulu
a little too
says,
much this league is going for.
After listening to Thursday's show, far more disturbing than the Paul and Tom cat fight was Andy's recounting of his accident on the sofa. When Fred asked, couldn't you feel this thing coming on? Andy responded, I thought it was a fart. So Andy feels comfortable farting while his wife's head is on his lap. That was a showstopper.
God, 100 times a night.
Oh, that's just Jeez. Not right.
That
have you no respect
problem.
For the woman?
Seriously.
I can't hold it in. Have you ever seen the South Park? I'd blow up.
Okay, then the question is, why does she put her head down there? Okay, let's move
that's
on.
That's a different topic for a different show.
But you on your own time is your business.
Oh, man.
That sounds like an Urban Dictionary word of the week.
Andy from Narragansett.
While farting, while your wife.
He says he has a marketing idea for you. Instead of PFW t-shirts,
Dartmouth
make
surprise.
PFW underwear and give Andy a pair. Also, what do you guys think about McFadden coming to New England? Why would we want to give Andy the PFW underwear? He'd soil it.
I was going to say it would be in the garbage a day later.
Yeah, it's like, you know, spitting on the American flag. You don't want to do that.
Huh?
You don't want to soil our logo by giving you a pair of underwear with it on. Boxers or briefs? What do you do? I like boxers.
Boxers.
Yeah.
Boxer briefs.
Boxer briefs?
Is that what they're called? No. Yeah. Boxer
they
briefs.
Look like boxers, but they fit like briefs?
Give you a little bit more
about?
Support?
Yeah. I don't like the boys bouncing around.
Why not?
I don't like it.
No?
McFadden, no.
We already talked about
him. Will not be a Patriot.
He won't be,
plus, he will not be an NFL player in 5 seasons.
No. I'd be surprised if he's even there at 7.
Under over on career yards, 32-10.
Your ridiculous rants are amazing.
He goes down like Quentin freaking Smith.
So 32-10 in less than 5 years?
Yep.
I say if he gets 3,210 yards in less than 5 years, he's not out of the league in 5 years.
He'll be out of the league in 5 years.
I'd say mark tape, but there's nobody there.
Nobody here to mark tape. What if he doesn't come back at two? Are we just going to keep going?
Well, we'll just have dead air. We'll just leave.
All right.
We'll just leave.
All right.
All right, all then. Right. We could get a radio and just, like, turn it on and press play or something.
Let's see. Keith writes in, do you think there's some truth in the rumor the Pats were going to trade up for Darrell Revis in last year's draft? If so, with the Jets picking before the Pats this year, won't the Jets go after Golston to keep him from the Pats? How about this year the Pats trade up ahead of the Jets and get Golston if he's worth it?
That I have no problem with. I have no problem with that theory, spending a little bit more money to get a potential superstar. I have a problem with the theory that the Jets would draft a guy just to keep him from the Patriots. Now, I know they use the same scheme, so in theory he would fit there, but you draft for the guy you want, not the guy you don't want the other
team to have. They drafted Darrell Revis not because they thought the Patriots were interested in him.
Because he can play.
Because they thought he could play.
Right. And I do think the Patriots liked Revis.
I think they liked Revis. I do think there was some interest there because I also had heard that when they were 28, right? They ended up trading 28. Was that where they picked last year? The second pick that they traded to San Francisco. What number was that?
Oh, I believe it was 28. 24 right? And 28 they had.
Yeah. So I think in talking to some people after the draft, I think there was some interest in one of the guys they brought up was Houston, the kid out of Arkansas, the cornerback.
Houston.
Chris Houston. That was one of the guys they said, would you rather take a Chris Houston or a first-round pick next year?
Right.
It's basically what they were arguing about. And they ultimately decided to take the draft pick the next year, which turned out to be 7, which I think any way you look at it is
which was the devil
a very
in a
good
dress.
Trade. But a very good trade, no matter how you look at it.
A pig with lipstick, right, Fred?
That's right.
Perfume on a pig. Fred's phrase. Perfume on a pig. Right,
what about this whole idea that now is kind of, you know, everybody's trade down, blah, blah, blah. If Golston's the guy, trade up the Chiefs want a lineman, they could get a lineman, they could get Clady with the 7th pick. Any interest?
In trading up with the Chiefs?
Do you like Golston enough to trade up for him, basically, is what you're asking me?
Yeah. I do. He's the guy I'd feel most comfortable handing a lot of money to.
What do you have to give him in addition? You're trading up.
I'm like Tom Casale. I'm a scout.
well, that's
trade value chart. It's not a ton.
By the way, the Patriots didn't get any compensatory picks this year.
Nor should they.
I'm just pointing it out.
I thought you were saying it with a hint of
screwed by the league again.
I thought it was from video games.
I hate those compensatory picks. You know, it's just like, at the bottom of the round, you got a, you know, another guy to do a thing on.
That's true.
When's the last time you did a thing?
That is true. We don't have to do our things anymore. That gives us, what, 9? No, 8.
8, I believe. Eight. 7 plus
1. 1 in every round.
Right.
Plus 2/3.
Right.
Yeah, so you probably could get, what's that, 2 spots you'd have to move up?
I'll ship them.
Probably have to give them a 5th.
A 3rd.
Probably a 3rd. 3rd and a 5th, maybe, something like that.
I'll do it. I like Golston.
Okay.
He's my man.
Let's
Would
see.
Would you do it, Fred? And the money probably jumps up from 18 to 21.
Can't be that
well,
much
based on what you guys are saying,
I like Golston.
He's
I don't
got
know.
A lot of, you know, he's athletic, flexible, fast. You know,
I will say the one thing I will, and I don't, would be the Mike Vrabel. I would rely heavily on Mike Vrabel just to tell me, is this a good kid? Because he's around him at Ohio State. And if Vrabel said, I have my doubts, then I would be. I'd go the other direction, but all from talking at the combine.
Yeah, this is assuming he's worth that,
right? And I got a good vibe from him at the combine. Not the kind of vibe Eric got, of course, but I got a good vibe from him. He has all the physical tools, and it's a position of need. And I just think, the versatility he'd bring to this defense, I'd be very intrigued to see him be put to use.
TG and Joyce says the Super Bowl slogan was "Who wants it more?" How about a slogan for Spygate 2? Who wants it to go away more? After the new Spygate 2 chatter, Kraft's comments, Belichick's comments, the discussion on Man Girl and the Meatball in the Morning Show on ESPN with Chris Mortensen, who do you think wants it to go away more? Kraft and Belichick, Roger Goodell, Matt Walsh, or Arlen Specter? I'd say Kraft and Belichick,
obviously. And Goodell.
And Goodell, yeah. Seems Walsh will be implicating himself when he implicates the Patriots if his lawyer ever does allow him to speak. For the good of the league, I was hoping this would be resolved before the draft. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. It's in the hands of the lawyers, and who knows when they'll come to an agreement. Thanks again, Rat Genie. Good job, jackass. By the way, for the Super Bowl, the Patriots wanted it more, but they didn't get it.
I don't think the Patriots wanted it more.
No.
I think the Giants wanted it more.
I think the Patriots already thought they had it.
Yeah. I think it was one of those cliches that almost never comes into play, that in that game,
especially with
this
team.
I think it was fairly, it was somewhere kinda, it was
the,
visible.
The yeah. Andy Hart of the league offices is saying, told you that who wants it more was a good idea.
Right. I mean, I think the team that wanted it more ultimately found a way to get it. Yeah. You know, I mean.
I also think it's a lock what the other guy said, that the Giants have virtually no chance of repeating.
Oh, yeah. God, no. I don't think.
Because it was the perfect storm for them. And
I don't think they're that good.
No.
Right.
First of all.
And even if they were, the way it came together, I think it's like the Patriots in 01. Even if they're building something in New York, I don't think it'll
translate
come together this
instantly.
Year. I don't think
right.
they're that good.
Right.
Maybe they'll be good the year 2009 and build a little run here, but not now. Plus,
you know,
I think Manning stinks.
You know what I think is interesting is I don't think he stinks, but I don't think he's that good either. I mean, you know, I think he's an average quarterback
right.
at best. I don't think he stinks, though.
You know, he's kind of my Willie McGinnis thing. If I take a quarterback number one overall, I want him to be better than a little average quarterback.
I agree.
And he annoys me sometimes, this whole shtick.
Ignacio Garrote Fernandez Diaz writes in. I just wanted to say his name.
Hola.
Thanks. You should have had Eric do that. He would have given you the proper accent.
He says, quick question. Is Stephen Neal really that important? When he went down last season, especially in the Super Bowl, it seemed that the whole O-line collapsed. By the way, we need a decent right tackle, too, as you were talking about.
Well, he also when he came back, the running game,
yes.
maybe coincidentally, maybe not coincidentally,
started running well again. Yeah.
So, and Bill, I don't remember the exact quotes, but raved about his performance in one of his Super Bowl press conferences, saying when he was out there, he was just about every bit as good as Logan Mankins.
Yeah, it was almost as if to say, Mankins is getting all the attention at our guard spot, but Neal is every bit as good.
And
you know,
kind of what we've been big Stephen Neal fans over the last couple of years.
Just because he's so athletic for a lineman, right. it's eye-popping.
He looks kind of dorky sometimes in his pads and his helmet and his beard and all that, but he kills people when he's running around the corner there and pulls. And
the one thing I would say on the other side of that is, the offensive line was well on its way to being manhandled in the Super Bowl before he got hurt.
Right.
From play one.
Right.
And it never really stopped throughout the game.
And it wasn't really all on his side either.
No, it was everywhere. It was all five guys throughout the game.
You just got to keep him out there, though. That's
and that shoulder thing, to me, that's a big concern, because it's been a long time. I know they say that this is, you know, another in a long line of successful surgeries, but who knows? And if he has to miss three or four games again, that's a problem.
You go under the knife, you're never the same.
Look what happened to you.
No.
A once promising career down the pooper.
Career in what?
Anything.
Teaching.
Let's see. Who's this? This is Chris in the Bronx. Hey.
Hey, lunch Chris. Man.
Wouldn't it be great if Matt Walsh held a press conference today and just said, April Fools.
That would be very funny.
That would be a relief. I'm sick of Spygate.
Oh, you thought I was serious about that?
Yeah. Actually, I was sick of it 8 months ago, and I would love to get back to just watching football and rooting for my team without being a volunteer PR guy and defense attorney. On to better things. Below is a list of top picks as ranked by NFL Draft Scout. Please consider each pick as if he were available at number 7 and whether or not you'd consider taking him for the Pats. Great to listen to you, and I can't wait for the video webcast.
That's growing. It's picking up steam, Fred.
Yeah. Chris Long, would you take him?
Yes.
Yes.
Glenn Dorsey.
Yes.
Yes.
McFadden.
No.
No.
Jake
no.
Long.
No.
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 Golston.
Yes. Yes.
Cedric Ellis.
Yes.
Yes.
Matt
yes.
Ryan.
No. No.
Ryan Clady.
Yes.
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 Keith, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Keith Rivers.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Leotis McKelvin.
No.
No.
Rashard Mendenhall.
Yes. Yes. God, yes. I love him.
Well, Brian, not for the Patriots, but I do love the guy as a player.
Brian Brome.
No.
No.
Dan Connor.
No.
No. No.
Mike Jenkins.
Mm.
No,
jury's
but
still
I,
out.
I don't
haven't
know
seen
enough.
About
I haven't seen
him.
Enough on him.
I haven't. The video we had was not.
Jonathan Stewart.
No.
No.
Derek Harvey.
No.
No.
And Bill Odell.
I don't know who that is.
I just wanted to check.
No, I saved us on that one, guys.
Well, I certainly wasn't answering.
I don't know who that is.
Bill Odell.
He was trying to set us up.
Crazy Kirsch.
All right. Let's see. Jan. Is this Jan?
Stenerud?
Jan from Melbourne, Australia.
Gary, we got a pin in
there. Good night,
mate. Hey, Gary's back. Hey.
How's the meeting
just
going?
In time for the 156 break.
So what's our marketing strategy for 08?
They were still talking about the revolution when I left. So.
Whoa, 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 whoa. They waste time.
Do they know the season already started? It's too late.
Andy Hart. Whoa, 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 whoa.
We have a we
they
have
actually
a Brisbane.
Meet to get five people at the game.
Oh, next so we need Melbourne.
We need a Melbourne.
Okay.
We have a Melbourne.
We need a Melbourne, Gary. You got 5 minutes. We're not ending yet. They spent 2 hours. Oh, no. Start at one. So an hour talking about the Revs. And how they can get to the championship game, lose it, and then blow the team out in the
right.
opener the next year.
Or score an overtime of the championship game and yet not win it.
I think they should go to orange uniforms, Gary. Bring that up. After the show press stops, go upstairs and say, let's change the uniforms to orange. That's my idea for the year.
No, Dynamo already has that, right? Aren't they orange?
Yes, that's Houston what we're talking Dynamo? About. I like orange. Is there a rule in MLS bylaws that says two teams can't wear orange?
Let's see. Jan says he has a lot of other stuff, but he says, forget any positions that you guys have played before, if you played any, and tell me which position in a gridiron team, excluding quarterback, would you play and why? For example, Andy's played at fullback, so we can't use that position again. As for what's his name, he has probably been in different positions, but let's not get into that.
Second time today we've brought up Eric's favorite positions.
Now, if I had to guess which position
a catcher or a pitcher?
Now, if I had to guess which position each of you would play, I would say Fred would choose middle linebacker because he's the captain of the ship. Andy would most likely choose free safety because, just like his comments, he would be there just in time. Now, Paul can't play a position because he doesn't believe in celebrating. And as for Tom, he would choose running back for a simple reason. He's always complaining about how it's never his fault. So a running back, when they blame the offensive line, he could blame the offensive line for a bad run.
I agree.
Middle linebacker, that's always been my favorite.
I was just picturing you, though. You know how, like, Zach Thomas is sideline to sideline? You're more guard to guard.
hash mark to hash mark.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure he gets to the hash marks.
The problem is I actually played a little bit in Pop Warner, so I can't pick a middle linebacker.
I actually played a little bit.
That's the trouble. Even in Pop Warner,
well,
you
Pop
played
Warner,
a little
I played,
bit.
I played offensive line, defensive line, running back, and middle linebacker. I played them all.
You must have been great. Of course, you're probably the height you are now.
Yeah, same size, everything. Just as much hair in my legs.
I thought there was a weight limit for Pop Warner.
What?
I thought there was a weight limit for Pop Warner.
Oh, that Barney Rubble. What an actor.
Not in New Jersey.
I don't know what position I'd play.
Thought you grew up on the Cape.
Outside
high school.
No, I played a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Safety.
College in Florida.
You played safety in high school, numbnuts.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you're not listening to the whole setup to this game.
Yeah, but I was more or less saying quarterback I couldn't play.
So wide receiver or tight end?
I would be punter, I guess, because that's like the only thing I didn't do.
Yeah, I would say...
no, quarterback. I'd go quarterback. I was never a quarterback. That'd be fun.
I would have to
especially
say
in high
receiver,
school, you run half the time.
Some kind of receiver.
Eric, what would you... Oh, any position on the field's open to you.
All right, that's it. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back... What?
A little early.
All right, we got to go. We'll see you on Thursday.